It's time for Mac Break Weekly. No news this week, so of course the show is much longer because we just had fun talking about all sorts of things. We will be waiting to see if the Mac Pro comes out during this show, and we might find out who bought that product red Mac Pro and the gold earbuds. Stay tuned. Mac Break Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 381, recorded December 17th, 2013. No gain, no grain. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple product is worth at gazelle.com. And by audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/MacBreak. And by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/MacBreak. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show that covers all the Apple news. And we got all the Apple news hounds here with us today. A jam-packed program starting in Liverpool. The northernmost visitor today, Don McAllister from Screencast Online. Happy holidays. Merry Yuletide, Don.
Happy holidays to you, too.
Thank you.
It's good to be here.
I think Liverpool seems a good place to have Christmas.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, sometimes you do get snow, but normally it's just cold and damp sometimes.
Cold
but
and
no,
damp.
It's normally a good place. Good
That's
place.
What I'm looking for. Anything cold and damp. Andy Inako got some snow, I think, yesterday. Did you not, Mr. Inako?
Our pro-ordered delivery of slush arrived on Sunday. We're getting more snow tonight and tomorrow.
Aye.
As such, my errands this morning included, maybe another 3 bushels of firewood just in case, maybe a couple of days worth of food and provisions and any project that I mean to do around the house, just in case I can't leave for about 36 hours. Maybe tomorrow's the day I will be taking apart the toilet in the guest bedroom and replacing that dried out flange that I've been meaning to get to for the past few months.
That's what you do when you're housebound, huh?
Well, not necessarily housebound, but you know, it gets icy enough that if you are self-employed and you have the option of, you know, I'm out of soda, I guess I don't have to get soda today. And if you want it, and if there are things that you would be meaning to burn, a cold winter day where it's still like icy outside, a good day to consider burning those things. Although there was that time last year where I lost power. The heater is electric and it was 8 degrees overnight.
Yikes.
So ever since then, I make sure that I have at least a volume of wood about this big ready to go at all times.
It's an afternoon in the park with Andy.
Yes.
We also have Renee Ritchie from Montreal, our second most northern visitor.
I want to apologize to Andy for the snow. Dalrymple and I were cleaning our porches and we didn't think it would travel that far.
He swept too hard. Does Dalrymple live up your way?
He's in Nova Scotia, so he's in the Maritimes.
I did not. Is he a Canadian?
Yeah, absolutely he is. And the beard, too. The beard has landed immigrant status, I think.
I did not landed immigrant status. I did not know that.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And they're actually trying to ban wood-burning ovens and wood-burning furnaces and wood-burning fireplaces here, too. So
yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do because our power goes out for days.
Burn pellets.
Furniture.
Also, thank you for being here, Renee. Also with us, Mr. Alex Lindsay from Parts.
I'm here.
Around about.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So you were going to India last time we saw you.
I was thinking about it.
You didn't go.
I didn't go.
Long way to go for, you know, a day.
Well, you know.
Except when I found out who you were going to India to be with.
Well, I can't say who I was going to do, but there was a great hangout on Friday.
And that great hangout on Friday, was that in Google Land?
Yeah, it should have been. It should be.
With a guy named Dolly?
The Dalai Lama.
Wow.
Wow.
And, but of course, I was only going to watch.
Now, it's not his first hangout. He did a hangout in
with Desmond Tutu
2011 with Desmond Tutu.
Yep.
But he hosted a Google hangout.
Actually, I think it was hosted by Anderson Cooper.
That is just wild.
That is just wild.
But definitely worth checking out. Now, this one is...
This is the old one.
This is the old one. Go to... If you go to YouTube...
I see here. Anderson Cooper hosting... CNN announces new... Anderson Cooper hosting a Google Hangout. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That is neat. And it was it regarding... Wait a minute. No, this is the old one again.
I heard, well,
no, this is it. Was Desmond Tutu there as well?
Mm-hmm. And Richard Branson and...
Wow.
I thought that Mary Tutu was Robinson. There for the hangout to promote Assassin's Guild 5.
Exactly.
See, that's why I was confused and I...
yeah.
Well, you know, I get... Oh, there you go.
So this was remembering Nelson Mandela. Wow. Wow, that must have been amazing. Where was that done? Where in India?
Or well, I think it was Paul all over.
Wow.
From what I've heard.
He has no idea, folks. He has no
idea. Anyway, but it's a pretty cool hangout. I would definitely suggest people
watch
it.
Should we be using... We have so much trouble with Skype. We just had to recall Renee. So, should we be using Google Hangouts for this show?
I think that for what the way it's run here, I'm not totally certain that Hangouts would be the... Because you have an individual connection with each person. Really, the answer to...
Hangouts is for group calling.
Yeah, Hangouts is great when you want to have one screen that has a whole bunch of people in it. That's particularly useful. The thing that would probably be more useful for this would be WebRTC. So WebRTC is a point-to-point solution. It takes a little bit of work to tie non-web cameras, but you're using web cameras on those ones anyway, so you could definitely pass it back. But WebRTC is a...
That's what I'm interested
peer-to-peer.
In.
Peer-to-peer. Yep.
Now, Google Hangouts use the codec is video, which we tried. We're not getting great results with...
Well, the codec now is for Hangouts is
RTC
VB8.
Is VBA.
Yeah,
VBA.
So it's so it's not...
It still says when you use Hangouts, video.
Yeah, because there's a partnership there. They've announced that there's a partnership between video and video or whatever.
They want you to say video, but the problem is it's spelled with a Y.
And why would you want to just call your name? You call video. Your company
it's
video.
A little generic.
So it's
like me calling ourselves podcast with a Y.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something.
Exactly. So.
Yeah, but it's got a Y.
No,
you
can't
see.
So the answer to there's a question is why can't you just do multiple one-on-one Hangouts? And you totally could. It's just that I don't think that you get. Well, no, you just don't get the same. I mean,
I don't think the
quality. You don't get the same
there.
Quality.
We do that with Jeff Jarvis because he refuses to use a real computer. He insists on using a Chromebook, and so we have to do that because he can't Skype on a Chromebook.
Right, but I would say that that Skype is not getting any better, and the Hangout quality is getting much better over very quickly. So I think that there could be a time when
there'll be. Sense. Oh yeah, because Skype's getting worse, frankly.
But when you look at a well set up system, so like a good example is Andy Inoko. That's a webcam, right?
Yeah, that's
over
a
Skype.
Logitech 920, as recommended by Mr. Alex Lindsay.
But so that's a solid computer with a solid with there's and the, really the only webcams to own at this point are the Logitech ones, the 910, 920, 930. I just got a 930, so which the only thing different about it, as far as I know, is it's got a cap now, so which is great. But a good connection, a good computer, and a webcam is, in my opinion, broadcast quality. I mean, that is Andy's image has gotten.
Isn't it great?
I mean, every time I look at it, I'm like, I cannot believe.
Yeah.
And Renee's is close to it. You're using a pretty much a similar.
Andy
system.
Was terrible for a while. That's why.
Money in a Mac Pro.
We throw money in it.
And I haven't figured out what the difference is. Andy's is just a little bit higher quality than Renee's, even though you're
Renee's
using
in Montreal. He's using Rogers. That's the problem.
That might be it.
Oh, that's definitely it.
So
When I paid for the bandwidth upgrade, it really comes down to number one, make sure that nothing is running Dropbox or Netflix anywhere in the house, and also whatever it is, the best thing that your service can give you, get it. Or when you actually call the people and say, "I'm looking at the chart, is there something better than the top thing you're offering?" Because it's often that they won't put it on the list. But okay, we could give you 500 if you want. I want. Thank you. That would
now
be lovely.
You mention it.
Well, and it's a very
we have swords. We also have the magical flaming swords of instant death. That's not priceless, but we have
them. I want it to be magic
and flaming and deliver death. I think I would like that. That's an extra $12? Yeah.
Good. It really comes down to though SLA, service level agreements, and most ISPs have no quality agreement.
Right.
In fact, Netflix just came out. They do this every month with bandwidth measurements because nobody knows better than Netflix.
What you're actually getting.
What you're actually getting.
That's the problem from a Skype perspective.
I understand, but it's a lot. If you look at what the Netflix numbers are, it's a lot less than you'd think. The number one. So now they're in the Netherlands. Do you have Netflix in the UK?
Yeah, we do. It's only recently, actually, that they've sort of become more well known. But yeah, we certainly have Netflix now. Yeah, on Apple TV and on my TiVo box.
So the average speed in the UK. The highest speed is Virgin. Mm-hmm. The lowest speed is TalkTalk. The average speed is not bad, 2.48 megabits. Now, this is a really important thing to note. They will say 20 megabits.
But you will not get that speed, will not get you the quality that you're getting, that you're seeing with Andy on a Skype connection.
Well, but that's download. We don't know what the upload is. But generally, if the upload is, it's going to be less than that.
It's going to be half of that.
Look at the U.S. Again, this is Netflix. This is prime time performance when everybody else is using it. Google Fiber, the fastest in the U.S., not a surprise. But that's only 3.5.
Well, I'm wondering whether that's measured based on what Netflix is using for streaming.
That's sustained throughput.
But my thing is that might be all, I mean, because the Google Fiber is much faster than that. I mean, it's.
Well, but that's the point is.
But I'm saying that might be all.
All of these are. Comcast gives me 50 megabits down. Mm-hmm. But it's all bursty, right? So sustained is a lot harder to do. Yeah. And they're averaging 1.82 megabits. No, you think you get better. That's my point. These guys know.
Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering whether that's the scale.
Let's see what Canada is. Do you have Canada? Do you have a...
They keep complaining because our caps are so low that people can blow through Netflix in a couple hours.
Yeah, Norway, Mexico.
Yeah, I was talking
to somebody. You're not
even on the list. I was talking to somebody in we were doing an event in Kansas City, and I said, so is the Google Fiber really that fast? I mean, are you really getting a gigabit? And he's like, oh, no, we never get faster than 930 megs a second.
Now, I do suppose that Netflix at some point caps out. But it's a higher cap than I thought if they get up to 3.5. The point is, if Google Fiber is getting 3.5 megabits, everybody who's getting less than that is not getting as much as they could be getting. In other words, those are real maximums. I don't know if Google Fiber maximum is a true maximum because that's the max that Netflix can use.
Right. I think that might be the max that Netflix is using for a stream.
I suspect it's not, but...
That's a lot of...
Well, if you go to the Netherlands... The highest average speed.
358, which is...
358. So, yeah, maybe it is the
you
highest.
See, you see it everything maxing out.
Yeah, that might be
the in the 3.5. It might be what
I mean, how much
is
do you need
using.
For, you know...
Is Korea a terabit?
But, like, for instance, when we're doing Hangouts, you know, we require almost everybody that's on a high-profile Hangout to have a 5-megabit up-and-down connection. Like, tested on...
SLA, features. Though, I mean, that's the problem is... when they sell it to you, it's always maximum.
We don't need 5 megabits, but
as
we require
as,
it so that we can...
As high as.
Right.
So you will once in your life get... I'm quite tempted, actually, to nip across the room there and get my Logitech webcam and hook that up, because I feel like the second-class citizen here is stuck in this little 4x3 box.
You look terrible. And you look washed out and... what are you using? You're probably using a Macintosh.
It's this year's Retina Mac Pro. So I'm just using the webcam.
You would think that would be at least as good as a Logitech
C910. What's your bandwidth?
Bandwidth is 100 meg. Yeah. I've got 100 meg.
You should go get a Logitech and see how it turns out.
Nip across the room.
Yeah, go ahead while we're talking.
I don't think it'll hang up the call, right?
No, it should hang up the call.
You can just transfer.
While we're talking about bandwidth and stuff like that, don't deny, because I get asked this question a lot, don't deny the effect of spending like all of $150 on an actual light.
A light helps.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, helps.
People don't understand that you don't have good lighting, and so your camera has to increase the gain in order to expose it properly. You're not getting good skin tone because you're using whatever light's coming off your TV screen, which is probably going to be blue.
Yeah, and the other thing is that when you have low light, it increases the gain. When you increase the gain, you increase the grain. You know, and when you increase the grain, it's a higher requirement on the your actual megabits per second required to get a good image is actually higher.
So you're saying no gain, more grain?
No, exactly. No.
Yeah.
That's good. You did that right. Right out the
bam.
Yeah, bam.
Boom.
Yeah, but you want to have as much light as that camera needs, and you know, and you're going to have low grain, which will be, you know, higher. Now, someone asked about I don't really care if this is a Logitech commercial, because I got to tell you, I really wish everyone really upped. I really wish everyone upped the game. I buy every webcam that's sold in Amazon. Like I own every single one of them. You know, because we always think that there's going to be a new one that's going to be better than. You know, I don't even bother with the ones that are less than $30 because I know they're not going to get there. But all the ones above that, I'm buying them, trying to find ones that are as good as a Logitech because the Logitechs are pretty expensive. But nobody's even close. So the 910 is actually the best quality image, but they don't make them anymore. They do H.264 compression on the 920 and the 930, which smooths out some of the skin tones. But the advantage of the 920 and the 930 is better pan and tilt if you have the controls through webcam settings. And they have a 1/4-20 mount, so you can mount them to tripods. Anyway.
But which one's going to work best with a Mac Pro?
Definitely the – well, if you want to put it on a tripod, 920.
We got all excited, John Slaney and I.
And the 930 is.
He was prepared. He was prepared to go down to the Apple Store this morning and purchase a Mac Pro for today's show. In fact, he even got up several times in the middle of the night to check the Apple Store for a Mac Pro. And we owe it all to 9to5 Mac, which lied to us. No. They were suckered like everybody
else. You know what's worse?
What?
I have an entire set built.
Waiting for a Mac Pro?
Waiting for a Final Cut Pro. Oh. Like I have, like we built a whole like final Mac Break studio. We built a whole live set just in case they released today.
What?
So like
you were going to go breaking news?
I was ready. We have Mark Spencer. We've got Steve Martin. These are the guys that
they are the Final Cut wizards.
Wizards, and so we were going to like we're going to be ready. And
so you too were fooled by that.
And I even called Mark. I was like, should I be ready for it on Tuesday? He's like, I don't know. And he doesn't even know. He's like, I have no idea. Apple doesn't tell me anything.
It was almost heartbreaking. I was working until about 3 or 4 in the morning last night. And at the same thing that happened at like 12:01 East Coast time happened at like 12:01 West Coast time. There was like suddenly a flurry of like tweets from people I know saying, "All right, I guess I'm gonna go to bed now. Now it's 12:05 and the store hasn't changed." Like you were waiting, you were up until midnight on the off chance that it'd be for sale today. It's like this is why like Dell and Lenovo and everyone are shooting themselves because when was the last time that anybody waited up past lunchtime to buy one of their products?
But it still could be this week.
Well, okay, so here is the reasoning. First of all, there was some bad rumor site that published a picture of a Mac Pro from the Mac Pro announcement back in June. And it looked like it was at an Apple store because it was on blonde wood. It was next to a cinema display. And everybody picked it up and said, some Apple stores are already displaying their Mac Pros. Then we found out the picture was a fake, and in fact, nobody knew anything. But as they did point out, Tuesday is now. Correct me. Is this correct? They said Tuesday is typically the day that new hardware appears.
It's typically the day you release everything. I mean, new.
Why? Why?
I can tell you
Wednesday and Thursday.
I used to, you release new albums, new everything on Tuesdays. I mean, the reason you do Tuesday is because it gives you the most number of press weekdays without making everybody work on Sunday to prepare for it. So you want everyone to come in on Monday to be able to do all the final little bits and pieces. And then on Tuesday, it gives you 4 days of press before you go to the weekend. So that's why
Why do they do so many launches on Friday then?
Because they're crazy.
Cray cray.
Because they're saying, I don't care.
Because with the Mac Pro, they don't need any press because who cares? Yeah.
But typically, but it's very, very typical for, you'll see almost every album release, everything else is always on.
But the Friday releases typically have reviews go live on Tuesday anyway, so you still get the week of press building up to the release.
Right. Now I'm thinking we're going to see it the last week of December. I don't see any reason for Apple to release it anytime this week. They're going to lose next week anyway because of the holiday. So if it now I'm guessing they're going to say, why bother? Let's just get more of those container ships, putting more of this product into the pipeline because there's going to be demand.
It's a long drive from Texas.
We're gonna leave our setup all week.
I'm sorry. I forgot they're being assembled.
I would leave your setup because don't you want to ship before Christmas? Because maybe on the off chance somebody would buy one for Christmas.
Now there is a spoiled kid. Here, Freddie.
Daddy,
I bought you an $8,000 Mac Pro for the boy who has everything.
Trader, I want a Mac Pro.
I know you're getting tired of your pony, so I thought I'd get you a Mac Pro.
Red one. Give me the red one, Daddy.
The red one.
Yeah, exactly.
I want the red one. It was Mac Rumors that had the story, and they immediately posted, billed it as a fake. But It got everybody excited.
Well, it was a real picture. It just wasn't from where people said it was from.
Right. Yeah.
Well, as if someone's going to smuggle out a picture like that, that's... That kind of made me think that I didn't know whether or not it was going to ship on Tuesday, but if that was the reason why someone was going to that seemed like the exactly the sort of picture that you would not see.
Yeah,
because this is reputedly the Bromley store in the United Kingdom. Where is Bromley?
Bromley is down south somewhere. Okay.
Somewhere down there. So, by the way, Don is did you change cameras?
Yeah, I've gone onto the other camera. That looks a
bit you are better. Clearer.
It's nicer. It's still a little washed out. We got to saturate it.
No, I don't know what that is, but that's...
Are you using a 920?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Yeah, the 920 has a much more sensitive autofocus than the 910. So if you tilt down just a little bit so that you're a little bit more in frame...
It'll go for Don.
It'll just stay... If you drop out of the middle of that, it's the 920 is super sensitive to...
It'll start focusing on the rack in the back.
Yeah, see? It does this little breathing thing that we... Zoop. That's why we like the 910.
Can you use the webcam settings app to adjust that? You can.
So if you have webcam settings, you can adjust color and you can also lock its focus.
You have that, Don.
Webcam settings for everyone is a $7 app for the Mac or $8 app for the Mac. That takes over your Mac. And with a 910 and 920, it can actually manage zoom, pan and tilt and zoom inside of the application, which is kind of cool.
Excellent.
Webcams. Go ahead, download that while we're talking. He knows a little bit about this.
One thing we know a lot about is webcams with people that aren't in the office.
Yeah,
we have a crew that processes 50 to 100 people a week.
Is that what's going on in the basement there? Because it looks like you're using the conveyor belt for something.
That's 205.
Okay,
the basement just sends out kits when they don't have what they need. Okay. So they process the kits. We're gonna send. There's a whole lot of you look great, and then we're gonna send you a box of stuff. You know, it's a nice way of saying
send you a big. It's gonna be a 55-gallon drum. You're gonna need someone to sign for it. It will contain internet. Just get the hose right from the computer into that because it can't be worse than what you've got.
And this just in, here's Bromley.
C910, by the way.
It is in Greater London.
I told you it was down south somewhere.
Everything in Greater London.
I don't even know where that is.
I have to trust the Google plugin.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, trust it? I don't know. I hardly know her.
Dynamics behind it now, Leo.
Look at, there it is. Wait a minute, now we're back at Twit. I want to go to Bromley. All right, there it is.
Yeah, I think Logitech makes Windows 920 controls, but I don't know how to use them.
Yeah, and they don't make Apple controls.
No, but webcam settings works on all of them. Yeah.
Can you see the Mac Pro in the Street
View? I'm looking to see if maybe Street View will have the Mac. Let's just
maybe you see someone just extending his middle finger to every Mac person in the world who's staying up until is now groggy today.
Dragged it to the map, and now let's see what's going on in beautiful Bromley. Well, apparently we're in an alley right now, and let's look around. No, I see no Mac Pros in the alley. Back to you, Leo.
I suddenly feel a need to pee, however.
I don't know how I got in this alley, but I want out. Oh, well. I'm telling you, I canceled.
Kill yourself and respawn. That's how that always works for me.
I respawn in an alley, yeah. I actually have money saved up for this Mac Pro.
Yep.
Now I'm thinking I'm going to buy
space saved up for a whole bunch of them.
You have a set saved up for a Mac Pro.
We need
Pro.
Four for Washington, D.C. as it is.
We have seen, according to somebody, build to order numbers.
They were out a while ago.
Those have leaked out a little bit. I mean, because we're trying to figure out, you know, we know that it's $29.99 for the base unit. Is that right? Did I say that right?
Yeah, and it's around $10,000 for the...
$2,999 for the base unit. And then there's a one-up that's $3,999. But then we've seen... I'm trying to find the link. Do you have the link in here, Chad? For the BTO prices?
I think you can find it at Apple still.
No. I thought this was a leak. Apple's telling us? It's like
they had all
to add RAM and all of that stuff. No?
Yeah, I think the Apple business units have been reaching out to customers that they think
exactly
the retail stores, and they've been sort of doing quotations for them based on build to order machines.
Yes, this is from Mac Rumors, but I don't think there's an official page yet. Maybe I'm wrong. Rene Ritchie's the king of rumors.
I saw them somewhere.
This is from Mac Rumors. They're saying for upgrades beyond the $3,999 high end stock version. This is what they're guessing based on what they've heard from these business quotes. The 8-core 3 gigahertz add $1,500.
I'm getting the 12-core.
12-core add $3,000. You can go the high-end stock. This is the high-end one, not the low-end. The low-end uses a AMD FirePro D300. The high-end uses dual AMD FirePro D500s. If you want to go to the 700, add $600. That's a deal.
But I have to admit, like, there's a lot of things that you can do. You can do with this. I mean, you don't have to load it up. Like for what we're going to use them for, we may even buy the low end one. It's probably going to be
enough. I'm buying the low end one. Yeah,
I'm probably going to get a couple of
those. Because I'm using it as my home theater PC. So I figure. RAM stock RAM in the low end is 12 gigs, and the high end is 16 gigs. It will be to double that $400. Does that sound? That's about right for Apple. Actually, that's pretty good for Apple. 16 gigs of RAM for $400. That's not bad. That's DDR3 ECC RAM. And if you want to increase the hard drive, its stock hard drive is a 256 gigabyte. By the way, these are PCI Express based, which means they are really smoking.
Yeah.
Love them. 512, $300. A terabyte, $800. So, if you want an 8-core Mac Pro with 32 gigs of RAM, 512 gigs of storage, you'd get your base $4,000 plus upgrades to yield a total price of $6,199.
You know how much my Mac 2CI costs?
I know.
$6,000.
I know. So you think what you're getting.
Yeah.
It's a deal.
Yeah. And that was back when it was real money.
Yeah.
That was my education fund. Instead of going to college, I bought a Mac, a 2CI. It was a good investment.
Wow.
Yep.
If you had a college education, you'd still have that. That's the only difference. Yeah, the 2CI, exactly. A couple of years later, is like, see you later.
Yeah, I made a lot of business with that.
Of course, you would have forgotten everything you learned by now, so exactly. It's just you would have a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. The $2,999 base model, the one we're getting, quad-core Xeon, 12 gigs of RAM.
That's a lot of computer for $3,000.
Dual D300 graphics.
And it's round.
They're all round.
I got over the round thing.
Because
I realize it's really just about ventilation.
Can you upgrade RAM? Yes. I mean, you don't have to BTO to upgrade the RAM. You could do that later, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I realized when we were watching this is kind of like the second generation cube, right? It's kind of like the cube, and then we figured out what we did wrong.
The cube done
instead of having, instead of cube having done four sides, this has infinite sides.
But you cannot make an aquarium out of it.
Yes.
You could.
The transparent aluminum ships.
Yeah, I really want a transparent case for this thing because it looks so much like Vader without his helmet.
You got to get a little sound effect there.
It just looks so great. Yeah.
Is transparent aluminum available now, or is that just something people talk about? Could you theoretically get an transparent
aluminum? Could Johnny Ive make you a transparent aluminum?
If I asked Johnny nicely.
Why couldn't we just use plexiglass?
Transparent aluminum.
Yeah. All right. That's the Mac News.
New Apple over the weekend.
We had a 4K display on the Apple Store here in the UK.
What?
It was a sharp one. It was a sharp 4K display they actually put on the Apple Store, and then they took it down after 24 hours or so.
Interesting.
People wondering, was that a mistake, or were they going to release it at the same time as the Mac Pro, and then the Mac Pro has been delayed, so they've taken it down again. But I think it might have dispelled any sort of, inkling that I had that they might bring out their own cinema display, the fact that they've got a sharp one in the wings waiting to pop onto the Apple Store.
They've got to have some 4K solution, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes, because I think the one thing we're going to see in CES, which is coming right around the corner, is I think CES is going to be 4K.
4K.
Like it is
all the way.
That all we're going to see is 4K.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to sell your cheese grater Mac Pro and get a little money for it so that you're ready to buy when the new cylindrical Mac Pro comes out, can I suggest Gazelle.com. Gazelle.com is the best place to sell your stuff. Honest offers. You could do it now. You get the 30-day quote now. Let's go look at Max here. The 30-day quote is good now because I don't even know what processor I have on this.
I got the 3.3.
Okay, let's do this. Well, that's the high end. Of course you do. In fact, I just picked the top of the line for everything for you. Let's get an offer on your 3.3. is it in flawless condition because it's been under your desk for the last 4 years?
True.
And then you choose the hard drive. It's a little more complicated for the Mac Pros because you got all sorts of specs. If you just want to say, hey, I have an iPhone 5 and I want to get a new... I just bought my daughter a 5C. She didn't want the 5S. She said, I want the color one.
C or S?
C.
My daughter doesn't know.
That's your daughter?
That's Hannah, yeah.
Hi, Hannah. Wow.
Visiting.
That's nice. Happy holidays, Hannah. I've heard a lot about you. Yeah. Alex says you're brilliant. But he's your dad, so what does he know? he's given me evidence, proof. See, the smartest people know about Gazelle. They go there. They don't keep their gadgets till they are completely worthless. They get rid of them promptly on Gazelle and get top dollar for it, too. Here's your iPhone.
It's the easiest way to upgrade.
Look at this. Now, this is interesting. Now they're going to give you a little more time through January 16th. Oh, I guess that's a month, right? To send in your phone. If you have an AT&T locked phone, $205. If it's unlocked, $255. You'll earn more. Isn't that interesting? You can unlock it for them.
Ooh.
See, they tell you how. So that's, Gazelle is on your side. That's what I like.
What's funny
is
once you start using Gazelle, you start thinking about it all the time. Like, yeah. I take much better care of my electronics because I'm like, well,
save
eventually
boxes,
I'm going to Gazelle this.
Yeah. Exactly. Blackberries, they'll buy those. HTCs, they'll buy those. LGs, Samsung devices, of course. Got a Galaxy S3, want to go to the S4? You got an iPad third generation ready for the new iPad? Here's the deal. None of this stuff is gaining in value. It's all getting less worthless over time. So it's getting more worthless, but the worth is getting less, not more.
Yeah. Yes.
No gain, all grain. So here's the deal. Go to gazelle.com and get cash. Now you can get a check. You can get a PayPal credit. But if you're an Amazon buyer, get the Amazon gift card because they'll bump it up 5%. They give you back the Amazon affiliate rebate. I love Gazelle. You will too. Good time of the year to get rid of the old. Bring in the new. Get a little cash while you're doing it. Gazelle.com. Yes, as is our tradition, after we do an ad, we run an ad. In this case, it's an Apple ad. The Apple ad, they said, will make you cry. Let's see. Everybody got your hankies? Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's not.
There's going to be a lot of salt damage to that undercarriage because they usually oversalt those roads in the back roads. They don't like to run them.
Oh, they're home for the holidays. They drove up in their Subaru. They've got, Grandpa gave him a hug again. He always does that. This kid's not happy. You could tell he's depressed. He keeps looking.
He's a teenager.
He's a teenager. He's looking at his iPhone the whole time. Can't wait to go home to his girlfriend. Oh, yeah. Get involved.
My kids are never like this.
He's checking the sales of his app on the App Store, finding out whether they're taking the entire family to Hawaii or to Europe.
He just sold it to Yahoo.
Aw. This is cute, though. And the teenagers finally showed up.
You tell Sergey.
Oh, what's he been up to? Teenager made a movie.
This iPhone.
This whole time we thought he was texting his girlfriend. I am
in slow motion.
That hat. So we're seeing from the teenager's point of view all the shots that we saw earlier. That's nice.
He loves the slow motion feature.
Yeah.
That's like the star wipe of those movies.
Everybody.
Hang a shining star upon the highest.
See, we love the teenager after all. He made Grandma cry.
Oh, I thought you're not such a loser. Oh. We thought you were a loser.
See, emo kids, you're not all
bad.
There is one.
All he had was an iPhone and a dream.
Truth is, it's a complete fantasy because you know the kid was not making a movie. He was texting his girlfriend and being a...
Ooh.
I'm sorry. Did I
see holidays?
That's a little harsh. That's you're about to be visited by three spirits.
Yeah, exactly. I know teenagers.
There's an inconsistency in that video because in the shot where he actually gets the sock thrown at him, he actually has the iPhone in portrait mode.
The whole time, by the way, is right. He's not...
I went back over that because that really irritated
me. He's not shooting it. If you look...
No, he's hitting it when you see him.
Yeah, look, he's texting. He's not taking a... He's not videoing.
It also indicates that at the time he was shooting video of his knees, and the guy interrupted him by throwing a sock at him.
Yeah. See. Wait. Is he shooting a video of the snowman?
He's working. He's not. He's working on it. Yeah.
He's editing.
He's editing.
I'm busy editing.
He's already in post.
He's editing. He's in post.
He's in post.
All right. Let's watch the sock scene very closely. Okay. No. I think he in fact did shoot the sock. Okay. Let's go back and see that in instant replay slow motion.
Is there an instant replay roll in the
Yeah, no, see, I think we can conclude safely that he did, in fact, shoot the shock. Shoot the sock shot. Don't forget to shoot the sock shot. That's cute. Actually, that is a sweet ad. It is also a minute and a half, which means it will never air on any television network I know.
It did last night on Fox.
They ran a minute and a half ad?
They bought a minute Cha-ching. And a half.
Oh, that's money.
Well, the problem is that Apple just doesn't have that kind of money to throw around. I mean, that's really the challenge for them. You know, it's just
the
like,
other
you know.
Thing, and this is really more important. I think this is what you were saying. He's shooting everything in portrait, not landscape.
Well, I don't think he's shooting anything. He's editing.
Yeah, there's only one shot in the whole video which is reflected in the final thing, and that's when the sock hits him. And if you look closely at that frame,
it's
he
portrait.
Has got the camera in portrait mode.
Which, by the way, don't ever shoot with your iPhone in portrait mode.
Now, I have a different opinion.
Oh,
okay. I believe that you are speaking from an old aesthetic, that old landscape aesthetic that goes back to the days of landscape paintings.
Have you ever
for
seen?
Crying out
have you
loud!
Seen, have you seen the lot? Have you seen the portrait in YouTube?
We live little in a portrait. That? Well, that's YouTube's okay. fault. We live in a portrait mode world. That is, you are going
I think it's a good development because just it didn't make sense like a couple of generations ago where every time in movies the way that the director would communicate that the point of view of this shot is someone looking through binoculars about having it two cutouts.
I know.
That's how you communicate. So now the new language is this is how we know this was shot on a phone. It was shot vertically.
Yeah.
But more than that, I just you have an excellent point aesthetically and on technical point. You're absolutely correct. I just want to give you a warning that the first 800 people who pointed out that you can't use the word wonderful because were you actually full
are you
with,
in wonder
wondered seeing yeah. this? It was fine for the first few hundred times, but after times you're just one of these people who's saying, you know, those tomatoes shouldn't be in the vegetable aisle, sir. They should be technically they're berries. Like, okay.
I am that guy also. All right, ladies and gentlemen, an argument. I will be out argued now by a chimp. There's a picture of John Goodman on the wall. Wait a minute.
This video didn't have to look this way. It could have been prevented. Say no to vertical videos.
That's a beaver.
Vertical videos happen when you hold your camera the wrong way. Your video will end up looking like crap.
There are more and more people addicted to making vertical videos every day. It's not crack or nothing, but it's still really bad. There are two different kinds of people who are afflicted with VVS. The first group treats the videos they shoot like pictures. They don't mean any harm.
I just see
while you can turn
some
a picture.
Grandparent who has their first really good phone, and they're so proud showing their nephew, here's the shot that I shot to make you show how much I love you. And, Grandma, you shouldn't have held the camera that way.
You have VVS, Grandma, vertical video syndrome.
But don't photographers all the time shoot sideways?
So I had a friend who went with me to Africa, and he's a photographer, and he was shooting video, and he had the camera turned sideways. He had this great frame of this Mbira player playing in the middle of the desert, and he's like, look at this shot. And I was like, that's going to look great as long as everyone can turn their TV sideways.
All I'm gonna say is that all of the video that everybody watches in the movie 2001 is shot in portrait mode. So if you want to say that not only Stanley Kubrick, but future Stanley Kubrick is an idiot, you know more than he does, well, fine. I'll look at his version of Clockwork Orange, and you can show me your version of Clockwork Orange, and yours is going to be so much better.
By the way, that video, vertical video PSA, has been watched by 4 million people. It's from the Glove and Boots video channel, the puppet channel, and it's a good YouTube channel. Glove and Boots.
Well played.
Yes. Nicely done. I disagree.
Not as good as the Wrecking Ball chat roulette.
That's a good one, too. That's a good one, too.
I can't get that out of my...
Kids, do not ride a wrecking ball naked. We should do a PSA.
Well, actually, you could do a PSA, but it turns out that is worth 76 million views.
What?
But actually, the more important message, though,
have
is
you
that
seen it?
Especially in the winter, make sure you heat up that wrecking ball. Because if you
talk about rattle,
cold, no, that's going to be painful.
No. Wrecking ball chat roulette.
Wrecking ball chat. Can I show it on the?
Yeah, you can show it. It's on YouTube.
I'll take my headphones off and kind of look.
You know, having stuff on YouTube no longer.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, there's no.
Doesn't stuff gets on you? 84 million views of this.
Oh, 84 now. It was like 76 million yesterday.
We clawed, we chained our hearts in vain. We
you haven't
jumped,
seen this?
So this is an actual chat roulette. Like,
it's an edited of it.
So the guy's pretty hairy, but he is wearing Miley Cyrus's underwear.
The funny thing is,
and
the
what's
reactions.
Happening? People are coming on,
they're randomly
and
coming on
him.
As chat roulette. So they're like, they just jump onto chat roulette to see what they're going to see, and they get
people
a guy.
Still use chat roulette,
evidently, and a lot more people are going to use it now because.
But this is not what you end up seeing most. Oh my gosh, she's got a wrecking ball. All she wanted was to see some penis, and instead she gets this guy in his tighty whities. I love the guys who sing along.
I know.
They're like, wow, I get what you're doing. I'm with it. Now, just some production questions. Do you think that he goes through the whole song and just lets people switch it? Because nobody's going to ever switch.
Oh, no, I think he did it over and over again to many different people.
This guy's done Wrecking Ball like a thousand times.
And recorded all the reactions, and then he cut it all together, done well. And it's funny.
I love that some of these girls, like, she's singing along quite well, apparently. She's lip-synced to this before. Here's an emo goth guy.
He's like, what?
What am I seeing?
And then he's like, whoa, that's funny.
I'm just baffled that so many people still use chat roulette.
Yeah, that's the strange part.
Yeah. Oh no, some guy in his own tank top.
Wait, it gets better.
I came in. Oh, he's naked.
Sorry. This is the best chat roulette commercial ever.
Broke his ball. I'm getting strangely excited by this. Why are you not showing the video anymore, Chad? Is there something we should know?
And what's funny is that it would have never gotten the views without the reaction shots.
Oh yeah,
that's what made it.
Oh no, is this not now accepted YouTube wisdom? Reaction shots are in fact the reason people go to YouTube. I think it is.
It could be. Anyway.
By the way, just for those of you who are like snidely saying, hey, look what we've gotten off the topic, made with a Mac. All right, moving on.
The power would be your best. The intersection of liberal arts and engineering.
Bam!
By the way, I have isolated the frame that Don was talking about, and he's correct.
He's shooting it in portrait mode.
And
he's
if
got
you go
VVS.
Frame by frame.
There is no...
There we go.
You lied to us, Apple. You lied.
Wait a minute,
right in the face.
Is that socks or is that...
It doesn't look like socks. Looks like a beaver hat.
It was a beam. Yeah, it was a hat later on. Yeah.
Down and to the left.
Unless it's a new feature in 7.2, which shoots landscape in portrait. You know?
Yeah.
One could wish.
Yeah, because later on it's...
I think he asked Grandpa to do it again.
Yeah.
Or maybe this is... yeah.
He just cut out the middle part, so it's really low res.
Yeah, yeah. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Could you take portrait and turn it into landscape? I'm sure you could.
You could just zoom in. What really should happen is there should be a way on the phone to lock it into... landscape, no matter what, so you could hold it up like this, and because there's plenty of resolution on the camera.
Apple complain if you try to shoot in portrait.
I've seen complaints.
Yeah.
YouTubers complain.
No,
is that what you said?
YouTube, the app complains. The app says, "Are you sure you want to shoot this in portrait mode?"
On the YouTube Capture app, it won't let you.
Yeah.
If you have it up in portrait, it'll say no. Mm-hmm. The record button's gone.
That's a little bit fascistic.
Wait till they, like I said, wait till they have Boston Dynamic robots to enforce this, Leo.
I was going to say. I was really surprised there for a second.
Well, I bet you if you do look at that video closely, I bet you that shot is in low res, as Renee said. I bet you they have cut out just a square or you know, just zoomed in. So that shot is probably going to be in low resolution. And you can do that with an iBoot.
Doesn't stuff like Vine and Instagram just use the square anyway? So it saves us from ourselves.
That's why they do the square, right?
Yeah.
Then doesn't matter how you shoot it. It's going to be square no matter what.
It's a little interesting, though. I mean, I know that there was an interview with Grant Imahara. Might have even been on Triangulation. I don't know. But he was talking about designing the Energizer Bunny and that because of some rule or convention of advertising, the fact that they had to make sure the Energizer Bunny actually ran on Energizer batteries or else they'd get in trouble.
Yeah.
So I wonder if there was something like that going on here where they had to make sure that every time they seem to be saying that here's video that the kid actually shot, they had to actually use shot video. So that's another vote in favor of low resolution adjusted video.
Yeah, unless they say at the end video simulated or something like that, right?
I don't know.
Let's watch it.
I bet you the whole commercial. I bet you all of his point of views are all.
One more time here. We're going to watch closely just to make sure.
I bet you the whole movie that they actually show was shot on an iPhone.
Yeah, if you go to apple.com, so youtube.com/Apple, they have the actual video that they use as the kid's video. It's called the Harrison Family Holiday Video or something.
You can see the whole video, but I don't think. I think it was probably a large crew.
iPhone
5S. It's
with a sound man and everything.
Everything is well lit.
Yeah. 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 Portrait mode. Yeah. This is very sweet. Very touching.
This is kind of forest for the trees. I mean, we're worried about. This is a disenfranchised child finally finding his voice for the enabling technologies of Apple.
There you go.
Quibbling about his orientation.
In an earlier day, he would have been just a messed up teenager. Now. Look at
him. Just into the periphery, ununderstood. His family doesn't know what he's doing.
It's all important.
Here's the official version. They're saying that this boy could have grown up to be the next isolated, troubled, brilliant singer-songwriter, but he was diverted from the path of being the next Kurt Cobain or Bob Dylan because he had a gadget that let him distract him from his suffering.
The whole thing is in portrait mode. Oh, this is how it should have been. She's crying because she hates it.
Why did he do that?
He did it in vertical video. Our son, he's...
Have we taught you nothing?
He's an idiot. Happy holidays with vertical videos. There was a disclaimer at the end of that, something about Wi-Fi and AirPlay.
Oh. I see Fraser Spears on Twitter made a great comment that the video did actually make him cry, but only because his iPhone won't buffer to his AirPlay device as quickly as it does on that video.
That was quite quick, wasn't it? AirPlay uses Wi-Fi, extra hardware needed. Extra hardware needed.
Apple TV.
Like
Apple
TV. Sound stack and a 10,000 LED light panel. Yeah. And,
you know, that covers everything, doesn't it?
Union actors. And
yeah. We're going to take a break. Do you want to play Brian Brushwood's family Christmas card? That was kind of sweet. I don't think that was shot on an iPhone, though. So we'll leave that as an exercise. Our show today brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is a great place for people who have time to spare that they'd like to read, but they can't hold a book. It's audiobooks performed by some of the best readers ever. In many cases, famous actors like Anne Hathaway doing The Wizard of Oz. There are 150,000 titles here, and I am such a fan of Audible. I've been an Audible listener since the year 2000, 13 years. And I have 500 books in my library, and that's one of the nice things about Audible. Those books are yours always. If you'd install the Audible app on your iPhone, iPad, Android device, Windows Phone, Windows 8, Macintosh, you'll be able to listen to any one of those, go back in time and read your novels again, your nonfiction. I listen to a lot of history and biography. If you like thrillers, there's no better place. In fact, it's probably a good idea. We're going to give you a book free to get something that really grabs you, a page-turner for your first book, because then you'll really appreciate how Audible books come to life in your mind's eye. It's really, it's the movie the way the author imagined it, you know. Here's what you do. Go to audible.com/MacBreak. You'll be signing up for the Gold account. That gives you a credit for a book. Almost all the books are single credit, except for the most lengthy books. That first month is free. That first book is free. You cancel any time in the first 30 days. You'll pay nothing. You'll also get the daily digest of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal audio. It is just a great way to enjoy reading again. I listen in the car all the time. I listen at the gym. I listen when I'm walking the dog and washing the dishes. Andy, what are you listening to these days?
An absolute holiday tradition. Every single year, I get out my copy of Patrick Stewart Reading a Christmas Carol.
Oh, I bet that's
great.
And
this has been my I bought it originally on Audible on cassette. And then when it came out in CD, I bought it on CD. And now I own it digitally because it's a brilliant story. If you're just going from the Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol or the
you're no fan for my fingers to fit. Tell me that I may erase this name from this stone.
Again, it's fine. It's amusing. It's just not quite as stirring as the original text is. The backstory behind this is that this was, even before he started playing Jean-Luc Picard on Star Trek, this was like a hobby of his to do this dramatic reading, in which he was not simply reading the text, but also performing every single character. He does the women's voices, he does the children's voices, he does the carolers singing and everything like that. He's been he's honed this act year after year after year, and thank heavens he actually put it on audio, and so you can enjoy it every single year. And really, it's slightly abridged, I think. It runs at 1 hour and 47 minutes, but it really, like, especially if you're one of these folks who spends Christmas Eve and Christmas Day like shuttling between friends and family's houses, it's just a brilliant thing to have in the car. Like, if you feel that the level of enjoyment you get out of this unique time of the year is starting to wane, this will put you right back in.
Let me play a little bit of it. I don't know what part of it we're going to get here, but
come closer and know me better.
You failed.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle. It was the voice of Scrooge's nephew who came upon him so quickly that this was the first intimation he had of his approach. He had so heated himself with rapid walking in the fog and the frost, this nephew of Scrooge's, that he was all in a glow.
Oh, this is really where audiobooks come alive. I think this is great. By the way, if you search for A Christmas Carol, there are about 20 different renditions, including Tim Curry doing it, Jim Dale, who does the amazing Harry Potter books. This is great. And you're not alone, Andy. In the reviews, there are also people who say, I listen to this every Christmas, and it's not Christmas without it. What a nice tradition.
I mean, long before the iPhone, before even the iPod, I used to keep those cassettes in the glove box of my car.
Yeah.
And like the day after Thanksgiving, I would reach into the glove box, put that in the cassette deck, and it would stay there pretty much for the entire holiday season. Can't recommend it highly enough. It's one of my favorite things that one of my favorite things that Audible sells.
You know, I'll give you my Christmas tradition. When I was a kid, for years, we would listen to a recording. It was on a vinyl record of Dylan Thomas reading his Child's Christmas in Wales. And I just looked it up, and they have it also. This is the poet reading
still
it
have
himself. Probably it's a little crispy, because let's I'm just curious what it sounds like. But it was
standing in the wet, smoky room.
Yeah, it's not great quality.
It's played off a record.
Came downstairs and
I think it's just an old recording.
Jim and I waited very quietly to hear what she would say to them. She said,
"Did I tell you at the?"
I have to say, and I know you can barely understand it because it's so Welsh. But and I'm sure you would get it a little bit better than I do, Tom. But it is a great tradition in my family. I'm going to download this, too. See, look at that. Thank you, Andy. I got two Christmas traditions now. One for Christmas Eve, one for Christmas night. How about that?
Excellent.
I love it. And then The Cricket in the Hearth, voiced by Jim Dale. Wow. We're getting suggestions from our chat room. The Cricket in the Hearth was a classic, too. Was that Dickens? I'm trying to remember. The Cricket in the Hearth. Yeah, Charles Dickens. Read by Jim Dale. No, narrated by Jerry Dickens. Must be his great-grandson. Wait a minute. This is a series called Dickens on Dickens.
He used to go around essentially doing like the Charles Dickens experience, I think. Because Dickens used to do his own readings of his own material. And as a matter of fact, he actually created his own reading scripts, right? In which he would make cuts, he would make additions to so that put in act breaks. As a matter of fact, just Sunday, I was at the New York Public Library listening to Neil Gaiman do a reading from Dickens' own reading copy of A Christmas Carol. And I really do think that it's almost as if this was it's a toss-up whether I prefer to read that book or listen to it.
Yeah.
Because when you're just sitting there, especially, you know, a couple weeks before Christmas and listening to it being read to you, it's like suddenly you're 7 years old and you anticipate a Hot Wheels racetrack coming your way in 4 or 5 days. It's just a wonderful experience.
Christmas is nothing if not tradition, right? That's the whole key to it. This is Charles Dickens' great-great-grandson reading this, Jerry Dickens. Wow. Let me see if I can't find the Jim Dale version, though. Maybe that's only available in the UK or somewhere. Anyway, audible.com. Now, see, we made it hard. You got to pick one. Audible.com/MacBreak. I can promise you, you'll want more. Audible is really great that way. Audible.com/MacBreak. Here's the Jim Dale version. That's A Christmas Carol. Well, anyway, there's quite a bit of great stuff here. Moving on. Is there any other news?
There's lots of stuff in the notes.
I should go back to the notes.
iOS firmware.
Okay, I'm still getting Springboard crashes.
It's under NDA, but those, I haven't been seeing as many complaints on Twitter about those with the new beta.
I've got to fix that. You too, Don?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I mean, I love iOS 7 and, you know, I love the new iPhone 5S, but it's the crashiest iOS version that's been.
It is.
Luckily, though, it is quick to recover, but it's still very frustrating.
Well, it's just Springboard and backboard that are crashing. So that's just the UI layer. So that's
quick.
The Apple logo and it comes right back. Yeah, so it's not rebooting the whole phone stack, but it's still terribly annoying.
Exactly. Yeah. I think we have to remind ourselves and remind everybody that iOS 7 and Mavericks are the two. It's hard to recall two. Apple coming up with two such big releases at the same time, or even two such big releases, period. And so there's definitely going to be a few months in which Apple's really going to have to chase down every single last bug. It's not going to be until, I don't know, January, maybe February, until we can say, seriously, it's done now, and you can expect it to work.
Have you seen the bug where someone calls you and the slide won't work?
I've had that since iOS 1. Every iOS just like, one is
it's the one argument for one of those keys, one of the hardware keys, being should answer the phone.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like you're sitting like,
There's no setting on an iPhone that you can do
it's
that.
It's a client.
Most Android phones have a, or maybe that's part of Cyanogen. But I have seen on my Android phones, you can press a button to pick
up. Yeah, I just look
that
forward.
Really would make a difference.
One of my friends really misses those two answer and hang up buttons that all the old Trios and Blackberries had, you know, right on the front.
I mean, I also have a deal breaking problem with Safari, where it's just so unreliable that I just can't use it. And it used to be like because I have a new MacBook here, and it used to be that I would choose a different browser maybe because I have a free option. I want to get the extra battery life of Safari, but it just locks up my machine. If it'll slow it down, and then we'll lock it up guaranteed at least once a day. So this isn't a fail. It was a okay, Mavericks is a big deal. Yeah, well, this is just like you move into a new house. It's not officially something that is going to annoy you long term until you fix the last thing that needs to be fixed. This takes a few months.
See, Safari and Mavericks fixed. I didn't like it at all under Mountain Lion because it didn't do the same thing that Chrome did with WebKit 2. It just basically separated out the flash processes, but the entire thing could force you to reload every tab seemingly at whim. But now they've broken it all out. Yeah, exactly.
I temporarily went back. I quit using Safari in 10.8 for that reason. As a matter of fact, I had to actually write an Apple script and put it into the menu, whose only job it was to harvest every single open tab and stuff it to a file so that I could quickly quit without having to look and review every single tab. Because you know how it is. Sometimes you have windows open, they have research in them that you didn't actually bookmark. And the fact that when I realized that you just spent 20 or 30 minutes writing a complex Apple script for triaging an emergency situation. Andy, is this an indication that perhaps Safari is not the browser for you at this point in your life? But in Mavericks, it was working. It was much, much better. It was still not as good as Chrome at that kind of thing, but it was at least stable. But with this new one, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I've never had that problem with Safari, really. I mean, I don't open loads and loads of tabs, but what I have found it useful for in Mavericks especially now is the iCloud keychain Between all the devices, that's a huge benefit. I still use 1Password, but you know the benefit of having the iCloud keychain built into Safari, and mobile Safari especially, is brilliant. And also the iCloud tabs as well. I didn't think I'd use them very much, but the you know to have a tab open on your Mac and then go across to your iOS device and have open the same tab there. And I don't really find it that crashy, to be honest, Safari. I'm a heavy user.
What are you running it on? Because I'm running it on a brand new 2013 13-inch Retina Mac Pro.
It's on the 15-inch Retina MacBook Pro, one of the new ones.
That's weird.
Yeah, I'm the same. But I put all the Flash and all the Google stuff in Chrome, and then I just use all the Apple and all the basic web stuff in Safari, and that makes them both really stable for some reason.
that's the solution.
That's annoying. I mean, neither of them is a perfect answer because Chrome is such a resource hog that it will instantly, just by virtue of the fact that it exists, it will cut about 2 hours, at least 2 hours of your battery life on. Sometimes I'm losing 3 or 4 hours of battery life. Same tabs, same setup. It's not that I'm running something spectacularly different in Safari than the other one. Whereas with Safari, again, it's just that I want to give you a chance. Just please don't freeze up.
When you guys don't use Firefox?
30 minutes before deadline.
I hate Firefox.
I gave up on Gecko.
It is ugly.
Yeah. It's ugly.
I'm thinking about giving Opera a try, if for no other reason that I want to see if I can get an answer. I want to see if I can get a stable browser that doesn't eat up my battery. I use Opera as a supplemental browser on all my machines because it is the best at, look, I do not want to be tracked. I do not want to have any JavaScript run. I don't want to have anything happen that would not be happening to a computer in 1993 with HTML 1.1. I think it gives you the best amount of control over how a web page will interact with your computer. So that's the one I fire up
one
whenever.
Step above links.
So, yeah,
links with the text based browser. Yeah,
on my Atari Lynx. So when someone gives me a URL to visit, like, so, oh, I just thought you might be interested in this bit of research that we put together. Like, okay, I've never talked to you before. And I believe that this is a bitter and cruel world full of evil people. I think I'll open this in Opera.
The thing with iOS 7 is still, like, I mean, they only began, this is not our problem. They should have fixed this, but they only began making it really seriously in December, which is way shorter than their usual schedule. And there's just so much in it. They changed every pixel, a lot of the basic stuff, and it's going to just take a while before it's like any Apple product. They regressed it to a certain point. It's going to take a while for it to get back to where it was before.
iOS 7 particularly, because especially when you talk to people inside Apple about what they are trying to accomplish with iOS 7. It really feels like not simply the next version after iOS 6. It really feels like, what if we simply spent from 2007 to now thinking about how we would like this operating system to be, and we built something brand new in 2013. It really is, or at least philosophically, it feels like it's that ambitious. So yeah, I'll give iOS 7, I think, gets a free pass until spring. I'm not saying that it could be unreliable, but I'm saying that if I'm still annoyed that a certain like continue or next button is too small, it's in an upper right hand corner. If I'm annoyed that there is a certain app that isn't working properly, I will note it and I will complain about it. But I will say, okay, but let's look back in a few months after they're really finished shaking this thing out.
This is kind of unacceptable. You guys are being very generous to Apple.
Well, see, here's my philosophy. One of the things that I like a company to do is let me know what is their vision of their own future. Are they just throwing stuff against the wall and hoping that they make sort of an impact with it? Or is there 3 or 4 different factions within the company that are fighting out for a different vision? Or are they working towards a goal? To get off of Apple for 1 second, Nokia and what they're doing with cameras right now is just, I can't think of another company, including Apple, that has had this level of focus and commitment towards improving a specific feature. And so if the camera on the 1020 has a couple of problems, I'm not willing to write it off, because I think that let's see what these guys do next. And now if you have the next version of the operating system, you see that a lot of the problems with this phone have been fixed. With Apple and iOS 7, this isn't them just screwing around and saying, oh, I suppose if people are going to complain about this, we'll kind of fix that, or let's try.
Well,
to
it does seem
that.
Like one of the things I think is interesting in the recent past with Apple is it does seem like they are throwing stuff up against the wall and then fixing it later. Like, there is a deadline that they're trying to meet. So they're, for instance, they're uploading iWork and we're just going to remove a bunch of features, or, I mean, and Final Cut 10 before that. And I'm not sure if it necessarily, I mean, you know, make sense for Apple to do that. I mean, I think that they're getting a lot of bad press by releasing things too quickly, and then no one gets over it. Like Final Cut 10 has gotten a lot better over the last couple of years, but because they released it without a whole bunch of features, it's never really gotten over that stigma.
But also the other problem that I think Apple is facing is that everybody thinks that the first three Star Wars movies that were released were perfect and wonderful, and was only the prequels that came after it that ruined the Star Wars franchise. Because
the soundtrack.
I talk about. I know I'm talking to someone with insider knowledge. What I mean is that we tend to forget that. How about the first titanium power book that? Oh, it turns out that Wi-Fi signals cannot penetrate this material. Perhaps we should have put those antennas someplace where they can get reception. You know, every single major release has had teething pains, just as almost every manufacturer who's made something brand new and tried to do something that's not simply taking the perfect and stable thing they started with and incrementally adding something new to it. So Apple doesn't get a free pass, but they earn at least some patience for me, because usually the wait turns out to be worth it.
I'm similar to Andy in that I like the direction they're going. If I didn't like it, I would be way, you know, and I think a lot of people don't like it, I would be way angrier. But I think some of the things that they're doing are so innovative when it comes to interface and projecting that interface to cars and other scenes and the technology they're building into it, that I'm happy to extend out to them until Andy said the spring. I don't know if it'll be iOS 7 point, whatever, but I'm willing to extend out to them the ability to see that vision fulfilling. Well, and I find it compelling.
And coming off the week of the Hour of Code, I think that I think that we ought to remember that some of this stuff is pretty complicated. I mean, I read this article about, I guess, the beginnings of Flipboard, and the fact that when they were doing it, they were talking to the engineers about the way that they wanted it to flip, and the engineers were like, you can't do that. Yeah. That isn't workable. You know, and they insisted on it, and it took a lot of work, and they think one of the reasons they got ahead was because they could do it. No one else could.
Yeah.
You know, and so...
I just feel like there's a tension between saying, hey, we as users deserve stuff that works,
yeah,
and then giving Apple a little bit of a pass because they've done great stuff in the past.
Well, I don't know where
the dividing line is.
No, that is a really, really good point and a really, really good comment. I think that customer faith is like forward momentum, mm-hmm. that you don't need to keep building and sustaining it. If you have 6 months to a year in which you're disappointing a longtime customer, you have so much faith and experience that that'll carry you through the next release. Or in the case of Apple, sometimes they have the benefit of delivering a product that simply doesn't exist anywhere else. If you want a full-size tablet, there really is no alternative to the iPad. Even if you want a small-size tablet that can be used like a computer as opposed to a content device or an accessory, there really is no alternative from the iPad mini. So iOS 7 would have had to have been absolutely terrible to have shed any users based on it. However, that momentum, that carryover of momentum doesn't last forever. I think that if Apple doesn't, if someone is upset with iOS 7 and doesn't listen to people like us saying, well, stick with it for a little while. I know it's buggy, but they're doing something really, really big and you'll be happy with what happens in 2014. They now have, there's at least an invisible counter saying that if the next iteration of iOS doesn't fix these problems and I'm still unhappy a year from now, and if it turns out that the next Microsoft tablet made by Nokia that has this incredibly cool camera that a friend of mine had and was able to take pictures that my iPhone couldn't take, that makes that consumer vulnerable to a switch at that time. It really has to be a long-term, consistent series of letdowns. If someone decides to ditch a platform because of one major release that let them down a little bit, they probably weren't terribly happy with that phone or that device to begin with. It was probably just a purchase of convenience, and they were always able to switch pretty much at whim.
Yeah, one of the things also you have to put it into context as well in that, I mean, I'm talking about it being the crashiest iOS that I've had, but you know, once every 2 days, say, I might get a re-springboard thing, and when it does happen, it's a couple of seconds, and I sigh and think, this
it's a nice break in the day, isn't it, Don?
Pardon?
It's kind of a nice break in the day, isn't it, Don? Yeah, you get a moment to collect your thoughts, say hello to the children.
When you think what it was like in the beta, and you know, the sheer hit, the effort they've done to actually release it as a valid operating system, you know, the amount of work they've put in to actually get it to its release status, you sort of have to give them a bit of a let on that. And then I always, as a, you know, an existing customer think, well, they will get it better, and we've just got to give them, you know, a point release to fix in some of the bugs. But, you know, it's not like it's crashing every 5 minutes and I'm losing data. It's just an inconvenience during the day, which we never used to have on previous iOS devices.
The one thing that I find the most interesting is, if you look, we could have very easily had something different. If Scott Forstall had stayed at Apple, you know, Bob Mansfield would have been upset. Johnny Ive would have been upset. We would have had a different hardware destiny, but we would have had an iOS that looked and functioned and it was as stable and solid and relatable and comfortable as iOS 6, then, just with a few more features.
And then we'd be complaining about the skeuomorphism.
No, yeah, absolutely. But Johnny Ive had a very powerful vision. And it's my understanding, sometime in November, December, he pitched that vision to pretty much the entire company. And he had to get buy-in for it because it was a huge amount of change. And it was something that a lot of people would have to work very, very, very hard to get ready for WWDC. So he had to have those designers and engineers committed. Like, if you tell somebody, look, we're going to have Parallax and we're going to have Gaussian Blur, someone has to build all that. And these are people who could have had a much easier time developing iOS 7 without these ideas. And my only regret is that he doesn't like the stage so much that he couldn't give that same pitch to us on the stage at WWDC, because I think having him explain it, having him be almost like the next generation Steve Jobs in terms of corporate vision, would have made a lot of people maybe more comfortable or more understanding about where iOS 7 was going.
But what does he do? Come on stage and say, hello, I'm Johnny Ive. We've made a new version of iOS 7. It doesn't work very well. But
he can get away with a lot with an English accent.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. We understand that. But it's the most exciting version of iOS we've ever made.
In the UK, it wouldn't have gone anywhere. But in America, he would have just gotten up and explained that. And we would have been like, oh, yeah.
Your battery will die twice as fast. Occasionally, you'll have to look at your family while your system reboots. But in many ways, this is the best iOS we've ever made.
And all the Americans would just be like, uh-huh.
The really strange thing, though, is the icons. I mean, when the icons first came out in the beta, I mean, they hurt your eyes. You think, no way can they release these icons. So you keep expecting that each beta release that they change the icons into something a bit more presentable. And it didn't. It stayed exactly the same.
Can I just say, if an automobile company came up with a car that the brake only worked sometimes and the car occasionally died in the middle of the road, we might not be so forgiving.
Exactly. Isn't this a Microsoft joke from 1988?
Yes. Yeah. I know that joke.
I certainly can see that point. It's just that sometimes you feel as though you're not going to tear down the entire house because you don't like the way that the toilet in the upstairs bathroom is running now.
I agree.
You appreciate it's a complex system. Taking a personal attack to this, what caused me to switch from iPhone to Android wasn't that I didn't think that iOS 6 was very good. It was because there was a fundamental divergence in future philosophy, right, where I had a vision of my future phone that diverged from Apple's vision of their future phone. And that's what gets people to lose. Whereas, good gravy, think about everything that we put up with in the Mac in the late 80s and early 90s while they were trying to figure out, right, I bet there's a way we can have a document that's longer than 8 pages. Let's get cracking on that. You know, and we stuck with the iPhone, even though it couldn't cut and paste and didn't have any apps available for it. It's because we felt as though we shared with Apple a common philosophy of what a phone should be and what it should do. So that's the most important thing. That's the most important covenant to maintain between a manufacturer, a maker, and a consumer.
And everybody has that choice.
Doing very well with that.
I wouldn't say to somebody, oh, it's you should stop liking Apple because of this. It's everybody has the choice. I mean, and this isn't anything new. And you're right, Andy. We did put up with the worst memory manager in the world in OS 9 for years. Maybe it's that momentum analogy you gave. Maybe for some of us, Apple has a little more runway than others.
Right.
It feels frustrating, and I see the frustration in a lot of people. But it's not
affecting sales.
Let me put it this way.
Look at the stats. I mean, absolutely not. What was it, like 76% or something? I mean,
Let me put it this way. Think about like your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your husband or your wife suddenly announcing to you, you know what, I've decided I want to quit my job and become a potter. And you probably wouldn't leave them immediately. You would give them 3 or 4 years to work that out until they either prove to you that they could be that this is not going to end in tears before you'd say, honey, let's try separate bedrooms and see how that goes.
I think the real question
That's a good point, though. You put up with, I mean, you know, anytime you're in a relationship with somebody, there are some rough spots. There are some
things
that you'd like to fix, and you put up with it. But I should point out that the iPhone is not your girlfriend. And
well, but I think the other thing you have to ask yourself is how long would you stay with someone if they crash every once in a while, every couple of days?
That would be bad.
My wife has stayed with me for a long time. I crash all the time. I mean, I sit there, I'll be talking to her, and suddenly I go like this. I just go, and then I come back up. But it's only a couple seconds, and it just takes another swipe.
I have never had the courage to ask a girlfriend that question. Exactly how much would you be willing to put up with?
Have you ever heard of a guy named Kevin Abosh? He's a Hollywood photographer. If you go to his website, you'll see portraits of Dennis Hopper, Scarlett Johansson, Johnny Depp, Dustin Hoffman, great photographer. He also has a good friend, a friend named Tony Fadell. And apparently Tony came over the other day to Kevin's house with his newest acquisition. Tony Fadell, of course, of Nest, former iPod designer, seems to have bought some solid gold earbuds. And
Fidel, it was a friend of his.
Was it a friend or was it Tony that bought him?
Because he denied that it was him.
And then Tony Fidel with a Red Mac Pro, and apparently he's already trying to hack it. So that answers one question. They did deliver the Red Mac Pro right away. They didn't wait. You're saying if he's trying to hack it, but it's not his, I think it's his.
Yeah, no, he put out a statement. He said that. Trying to find it. He said that he was not the owner, but he had access to them.
Mind you, iFixit sent out a request. Asked
to be clear, I'm not the owner of either. The real owner will reveal themselves if they so choose.
iFixit.
Listen, can we do a teardown?
We'll give it right back. It'll be in the same condition.
Exactly. And you'll have a manual on how to do it yourself.
Just think of how many people are going to watch it before it's even been released.
iFixit. Come on. Call Tony. So Tony said it's not mine. It's a friend of mine. Who would that be?
He was not going to reveal it. He said it's up to his friend to reveal who it is.
Well, he shoots for a lot of actors, so it could be.
Abosh does. Could be a friend of Tony's and Abosh's, right? Mm-hmm. Like Johnny Depp. It could be Johnny Depp's new iMac. To be clear, I'm not the owner of either. The real owner will reveal themselves if they so choose. I don't know if I buy that.
I did have to say that in the first picture, it looks like every medieval panel of Mary and the newborn Jesus in the manger. Come let us adore the rose colored first one with the earbuds.
Oh, the earbuds. Oh, come let us adore him.
In excelsis Deo.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes.
Just like Photoshop a manger around those earbuds.
Unto us a child has been born.
We're waiting for it. For those of you, we're waiting for that picture to be sent to Twit.
Wow.
During the show.
He is gazing upon it lovingly.
Let's get a newborn
since
in there.
Tony's the guy who designed the iPod, so this would be kind of a big deal for him, right? I mean, rose gold, solid rose gold. Earbuds designed by Johnny Ive. Do you think Johnny Ive bought it? No.
Yeah, Tony was holding it for him.
I'm wondering if he did buy the table. I'm wondering if he bought something off of that list. There must have been something that was so cool that, I don't know. Especially if he could have it and it'd be tax deductible.
I love the picture Kevin took of himself in the reflection of the Red Mac Pro. That's a nice picture, too.
That's instant lock screen.
Yeah. Holy, I wonder who. Okay, I mean, you should be able to try. If we were the NSA, we could tell with the metadata that we already have who it was. Who's in the reflection?
Call Snowden. I bet you he's got
it. Is there, you know what? Let's get somebody. Okay, what do they do in Blade Runner? Zoom, center.
Yeah, rotate. Exactly. Rotate a little more.
Zoom in.
Print that.
Because there's somebody in that reflection, I swear to God. I see a camera, but who's this person? I'm telling you, I want you guys to get to work on this. There's something in here.
Could be Joe Rubenstein.
Who would it be? Who has that kind of money? What, this sold for almost $1 million.
Yeah.
The two together, like $1.25 million. That's a lot of money to throw away on a home theater PC. Do you think it's Loreen?
Okay, now
to
Alpha Team, who's now photoshopping the manger scene, I want to now create Bravo Team. There are companies that will create shrink wrap things, like they shrink wrap cars. When you get a Mac Pro, get one of these companies to shrink wrap in red, take it down to a Genius bar just for routine service, and see if they say anything.
Yeah, can you imagine the guy coming into the Genius Bar with the red Mac Pro?
He gets it home. It's a black one. Oh, well, you had a bad watch report. We just swapped you out a free one. We know that's out of warranty, but hey, we're awesome. I wanted that.
It's had aftermarket modifications. We're sorry.
We managed to scrape off the paint job that some loser put it on. My God. Anyone goes to Home Depot and gets a can of spray paint, they think they know more than Johnny Ive about how these things should look.
It's like Star Trek when they color corrected the green girl.
I have a theory. I'm gonna do some digging. I think we could triangulate this.
If this was a cop show in 1983 when computers were starting to become very popular, they would have solved this in about 8 seconds.
I'm telling you, zoom in on someone. That.
I've got a friend at JPL.
All right, I'm going to do some. All right. Let's
getting nervous. Is it Alex's picture in the Mac Pro?
Yeah.
Oh my God, he's averting his gaze. He really is.
I'm not listening to you.
It's like no way out.
The thing was, though, didn't Tony Fadell actually take it along? So it must be a really, really close friend of his, if it's not his, to actually, you sure, take my $1 million Mac Pro and the solid gold earbuds and go and show them to your friend.
Well, no, here's what happened. It's going to be a friend of the two of them, right? Because the guy came over to Abosh's house, brought his new toys. Tony Fadell came over, and they were playing with it. They took pictures. The guy said, don't take a picture of me. So it means it's somebody we'd recognize. I'm going to vote for John Lasseter.
Maybe.
That would be my guess.
Interesting.
It's going to be a Hollywood type, but somebody who has an appreciation of Macintosh. You know, Pixar, of course, they render stuff like crazy.
It's not me because I don't want that rumor to take hold. It's definitely not me.
Not,
I don't know how these rumors get started except for on shows like this. So don't start telling people that I'm the guy who.
It's definitely not in the basement.
I think we need to track back who is Kevin Abosh friends
not underneath
with.
My R2-D2 housing over back there.
It is, by the way, we should point out tax deductible because for charity. Just in case.
Also, the Apple Care
is has matching transactions coming out of their bank account,
and it's going to be somebody who has a love for Apple and a love for Macintosh, right? Otherwise, you'd have bought the Leica.
I don't know. It could have been just there are probably 4 or 5 really high profile, cool things in that auction called the earbuds, the Mac Pro, the Leica, the table, and. I probably came up with the 5, but there are lots of cool things there. But there are four or five that were really high profile, really cool.
It's fun to have friends with Photoshop skills. How can we? Can you?
Here, I'll send that over to you.
Send me that image.
I beat you all.
While we were talking, Alex Lindsay made a little picture for us. He does. He's gazing. He's gazing with wonder.
And it's even gold. Did you see that? It took me a lot of time to find that.
You got rose gold, baby Jesus. Is it Ashton Kutcher? He's not rich enough. Is it Wozniak? He's not rich enough. You know who's rich enough? John Lasseter. I'm telling you. That's who it is.
It's that they bought both of them, Leo. They couldn't just leave. You know, not just one of them. They had to buy both of them.
Or is he going to use his Mac Pro wearing the earbuds?
Have to.
He's got to. You got to do. Exactly. You got to do that.
The only I mean, if you
own both of them. He should have the Mac Pro listen to the music through the earbuds on top of that aluminum table wearing the spacesuit and then take a picture of it with a Leica camera. Just to show that he is the captain of all
Leica
the
beast
days. Yes.
It's got to be somebody who has a thing for Apple. That's why Fidel is there. Somebody in L.A.? Okay. And did you send that via email?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to show you what Alex is doing for the last 3 minutes. You are good. You are fast. I don't know how you do that so fast.
You know. I've used Photoshop for a little while.
Have you?
Yes.
You know something about that program?
I've worked at it. Okay. I can remember when Photoshop didn't have layers.
What?
Yeah. Wow.
I remember when Photoshop didn't have colors.
Yeah, that was a big, like, oh my gosh, we have layers. Like, we don't have to keep on saving versions of this file over and over again.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Fadell and the Second Coming. Oh, come let us. This is so sacrilegious. No, that's just a little baby.
Alex Lindsay, you win the $20 gift card to Outback Steakhouse. Please contact me with your mailing information.
It is the right look, though. You nailed it.
Come let him adore him.
Oh, come let him adore him.
Now, Alex, over the next commercial break, have the baby actually wearing the gold earbuds.
I'm not. Oh, there's an assignment, huh?
Okay, okay.
Hold No.
This is called feature creep.
Yeah, feature creep is right. I love. Oh, here's another one.
Oh.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good one too.
Yeah. That... Well, he's looking at him.
They're looking at each other with adoration.
I think that one was better.
Now, just put the gold earbuds in there. Who did this one? I don't know.
Need a little bit more on the selection there.
That's good.
But it was very good.
Well, he was using the halo to really kind of make it work. What would the baby Jesus be listening to in the rose gold earbuds?
Lost Beatles album.
No, I'm thinking something from 50 Cent.
Dum-dum.
In the club.
It's my birthday.
It's your birthday. Go, Jesus. It's your birthday.
There's a YouTube I'm guessing video there.
From the new traditionalist era.
God, I'm going to hell.
Imagine there was Mac News.
I just hope Father Robert isn't around.
See how much more fun it is when we have nothing to talk about. You know what's making this so good? Because all the lawyers have gone home for the holiday, so there's no legal news of any kind to bog us down.
That's what it is, yes.
Yeah, we have Lisa on the other side just going, good. No, actually, she's not.
But Bloomberg, now this was one thing I got an email from Lisa immediately when Bloomberg announced this week that they were going to have a live channel on Apple TV. And she says, why don't we have a live channel on Apple TV? And at that point, it took me 3 or 4 hours to explain how Apple works. Do we have a friend at Apple? How do you get a live channel on Apple TV? At least now we know we can do it, right?
Well, you just have to talk to them about it.
Just talk to them.
Who's good? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. I said, Lisa, you can call them. But probably shouldn't be me.
They're still going for pretty much the
it's the big
very,
names.
Very high-end clients.
Yeah. And Bloomberg, if you think about it, is a channel that very wealthy people have on 24/7, right? So it's probably a desirable thing to have on your Apple TV.
I think today they added now Sky Sports in the UK. They added another channel.
They've had Sky before, right? Sky News was on there. But was it live?
No, it was... I think they did have a live feed, and then there were sort of pre-canned snippets, you know, of news stories. But Now TV is the premium content that's for just for Sky subscribers only. And we had a couple of other things turn up earlier this week as well.
We got Sony's Crackle channel last week as well.
Yeah, but those aren't... I'm interested in the live stuff. You know, we know they can do it because of the iTunes... concerts that they do every summer. Those are live on Apple TV.
Yeah, I'm just having a look. I'll fire up later and have a look, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be some live content on there.
Yeah. ABC too.
Well, and I think that there's an option for it to definitely... it'll be interesting to see how far Apple rolls that out and how widely they make it available.
Well, they also have a UI issue because right now it's just a grid of
it'll be
channels
just,
and it's out of control.
The interesting thing is a bunch of really smart iOS engineers are now working on Apple TV stuff at Apple. So hopefully we'll see the results of that in the near future.
Oh, the iOS 7 version of Apple TV.
Right.
Pastel colors.
It is a classic battle, though. The difference between Roku and Apple TV is that Roku isn't quite as nice and quite as elegant as Apple TV, but it's nice to have that kind of open-ish framework.
Right.
Where, you know, if you want to get Plex running
on Roku.
I know lots of people who love their Rokus, but then when I show them, well, have you seen the Plex app?
Right.
And say, well, you mean that pretty much anything on any of my computers anywhere and anything I bookmark in any browser can actually now be within that? It's nice. I'm glad I downloaded that free app.
Chromecast will do that. YouTube is now on Roku. That was one of the big differentiators between Apple TV and Roku. There was no YouTube channel on Roku. We couldn't really figure out why. YouTube's everywhere else. But this is now, I guess they made a deal. For 3 years, they've been going back and forth. And Roku's finally made a deal with YouTube. YouTube channel launched today on the Roku in U.S., Canada, U.K., and Ireland. Republic of Ireland is expected to be available on older player models later next year. So you have to have a Roku 3.
I'm curious if a lot of that was over, whether you see ads or whether you see any of the inserts that they have. I think recently that's been a lot of YouTube's, you know, focus is making sure that their things aren't being cut out of them. Because right now, I think with Apple TV, I don't think you see any ads.
Nope.
Yeah, exactly.
You also can't.
Is that
click
right?
On
you don't see YouTube ads at all,
mm-hmm. Wow. And you didn't see them on the old Apple TV, the old app on the iOS either.
Yeah, which is a big deal. I mean, if it gets popular, it becomes a big deal.
Right, they yanked their app from Windows.
It's a lot easier.
Because of that.
Right, it's a lot easier to watch. If you want to browse YouTube, it's so much more fun to do it on your Apple TV than it is on a web page. You know, because you don't see any ads. You don't see any. The only problem is you don't see. You also can't use any of the interactive features. So you like it says like if you want to see behind the scenes or something like that, you can't click through it.
You know, we haven't talked about in a while. 64-bit processor. Apple's still the only phone with a 64-bit processor.
Well, the chip anyway. I don't know if they're really using it yet.
Well, they made a big deal about it.
And they did. I mean, they have a chip that does
and
that.
And I don't know if that was enough to get people. I doubt even one person bought an iPhone because it has a 64-bit processor. Nevertheless, it's something that no one else has. Qualcomm says Apple's 64-bit chip hit us in the gut. Dan Lyons, writing for HubSpot, says, not just us, the Qualcomm employee unnamed said, not just us, but everyone really. We were slack-jawed and stunned and unprepared. It's not that big a performance difference right now, since most current software won't benefit. But in Spinal Tap terms, it's like 32 more.
Well,
now everybody wants it.
And this is from Mark Granger, who's probably one of the better programmers in the world. He said the A7 processor is running iOS 7. It turns out that even though if the A7 processor is 64-bit, it takes 64-bit pointers and registers, iOS 7 can only provide 31 bits address space via its kernel. That means iOS 7 is not actually a 64-bit OS, even though they said it has 64-bit kernel. So he's been digging into this. He does a lot of development. So the processor is capable of that, and of course an update may change that. But it appears that at least as of the last couple of weeks, it's still running 32-bit.
Well, the biggest deal of that has always been that Apple theoretically has one chip that they can put in any class device outside of a desktop. So they have the same CPU they could have on a set-top box, on a phone, on a tablet, or even on like an ultrabook-style laptop. And that is such a great equalizer for internal and external development that it certainly isn't a reason for anybody to go out and buy a phone to get a 64-bit processor to get the A7. But it is the reason why 2014 is going to be really, really interesting.
Well, if you were merging the two OSs, it would be a good step.
Well, maybe this, maybe no, but I thought an interesting development of 2013 was how close now the 13-inch MacBook Air and the 13-inch MacBook Pro are now. That now the Pro is more expensive, but not that much more expensive. It's thicker, but not that much thicker. It runs, it doesn't last
thicker?
As long on battery.
Sorry.
I was looking at this because I came across somebody who was very, very determined to say that it was 50% less thick as opposed to saying that it was thinner. And I'm like, my hands are hovering over the keyboard saying, is this another one of those complaining that a tomato is not a vegetable thing, or we just let this one pass?
It's less thick.
But I'm saying that now, whereas there used to be a really big, serious distinction between the MacBook Pro and the MacBook Air. Now it's sort of thing where someone could be easily be upsold from the MacBook Air, or someone could easily be downsold from the MacBook Pro, depending on what their needs are. And so if they decide, if this is nothing but, you know, sort of December, there's no news, I'm going to lean back in my chair, stroke my beard, swish my whiskey, and think about interesting things sort of statement. But if Apple decided they wanted to go even more extreme with the MacBook Air and put more distance between this device, its battery life, its portability, its durability, its heat, everything, even its price and anything else. One way to do that would be to simply say it's going to run Mac OS, but we're going to design it like an iOS device. Mm-hmm. So then it wouldn't necessarily have to merge the two operating systems. They could simply say that we are going to, it wouldn't be as easy as, a fait accompli. Logistically, I mean, Mac OS has always been set up to make it easy to facilitate a switch to a new CPU architecture. So it's not a small thing. But if they really did decide that in 5 years' time they want their laptop line to be built on the same framework as iOS, they decided it was worth that trouble, they could really do that.
interesting thing to me is that once in a while you see the advantage to Apple's business model, like with the Retina display. LG and Samsung and Sharp all make displays. There's no reason they couldn't have done that first. Samsung makes the chip for, you know, they actually fab the A7 processor. Qualcomm makes their own processors. Intel makes their own processors, but Apple goes to 64-bit on mobile first. And part of it is because they don't care how much the processor costs as long as they make money on the entire phone, where Qualcomm cares very much how much profit they make on the processor. But it's one of these advantages to putting this product, like the A7 is in every iPhone 5S, every iPad Air, every iPad Mini, and that lets them buy huge amounts of scale. And, you know, there's absolutely versions of MacBook Air-like products running with A-series processors. The thing with this is, like, it's an investment in the future, the forward-looking phone. It's one of the strengths, I think, of the way that Apple does their business.
Yeah, I mean, look at every the more that I use, like, all the really cool camera phones of the past of the second half of this of 2013, the more I appreciate that the killer feature of the 5S's camera is that CPU, the ability that they can do things in a fraction of a second that would have taken half a second or a full second or in any way would have been prohibitively long. The ability to simply say, you don't know that we're actually taking four different photos and making our best guess from the four, but that's exactly what we're doing because we have enough, we can take enough high-resolution photos in sequence and then make enough determinations and make a synthetic photo from those four that in that same amount of time as our competitor's phone is taking one shot and simply showing you what the JPEG came out like, we're actually doing about 20 minutes worth of hand-built photoshopping to make this lens that is a very conventional lens look like something a lot more sophisticated and a lot trickier. So that's
one of the interesting... One of the most interesting things about Apple is they ask these same kind of questions that Andy does. Like, you know, we have a limited Z index on this phone. What can we do with the processor instead of with the optics? We have all these components to make a computer. What if we open them up and lay them flat? How thin could we make the computer? Then you get a MacBook Air. And it's that willingness to ask these out-of-the-box questions that lead to some of the interesting products that we have.
And all the really cool things that I've been seeing. Like, for instance, the photo behind me was taken with the Nokia 1520, which I've been messing around with, that Nokia is doing fantastic things with cameras. I even said that in this show, but I'm very, very excited about their attitude towards it. And one of them is exactly that sort of thing. We can either redesign, we can either do what Samsung did, is essentially take a stock 8-megapixel still camera and simply add phone features to it, or we can figure out a way through leveraging a really impressive processor and a really impressive operating system that handles imaging to figure out how to fake those effects. The fact that you're seeing here is it can do focus bracketing as an option, so that, you know, the Lytro camera that has this light, really complicated light field stuff that's not really good for anything except for demonstrating that here's what I did with the $5 million in venture capital you sent me. Thank you very much. There, the idea of this feature, the Nokia camera, is that in the space of a half a second, hold this camera still, but in the space of half a second, we're going to take a sequence of photos bracketing the focus. We're going to move the focal point from up close all the way to the very, very back and store all that data so that when you decide that, oh, gee, the background isn't in focus, I really wanted the background to be in focus, you can tap the background and it will build you a version of this in which the background is in focus. But the really cool thing about this picture is that there's also a feature that says just make everything in focus. And then after only about a half a second of percolation, it will create a synthetic image that looks perfectly natural in which everything from the foreground all the way to the deep background is in perfect focus. As if I was in Rockefeller Center with a camera on a tripod out of like F-16 aperture, so I have that maximum depth of field, instead of simply shakily hand-holding something in the middle of a huge, huge crowd late at night where there's practically no light. That's the sort of juice we're hopefully going to see more of. The idea that, well, we don't actually have to redesign this whole. If we have a good enough CPU and an ambitious enough set of thinking about how we're going to solve problems in the future, we can fake almost anything the user wants and make it as good as what the user would have gotten had we built something bespoke for that feature.
Well, and I definitely think that one of the places that phones are going to have to continue to distinguish themselves, and I think Nokia's, you know, ahead of everyone on these is the camera. I mean, that's what everybody is. I mean, I don't know where else you take a lot of these phones. You know, the screen size, you can decide. It's a subjective thing, but I think that, you know, people are now shooting. I mean, 90%. I don't know what the percentage is. I saw a percentage that was like 85 or 90% of all the photos that are uploaded to stuff. You know, are from a phone.
Oh, our camera,
you know,
whether phone. It's
our camera phone. And so the issue is that that's going to continue to be, I think, a hotter race in some cases than point and shoots or SLRs or anything else. Is figuring out how to make those, you know, how to be able to shoot in almost no light at high resolution
I'm kind of curious about that because it's hard to convince somebody that they actually need a proper camera. Given that most people are now shooting not for an 8x10 enlargement, they're going to be hanging on their wall and moving on and taking with them as they move from their apartment to their first house to their second house to the downsized house that they buy when the kids move out. Now
just as we were talking about how great his Skype was.
This, by the way, is the problem specifically with Skype, is that it makes very high calculations on the bandwidth. And if that bandwidth changes at all, it doesn't have any way to read.
It fails.
It just stops. It just goes, oh, I can't do that anymore.
This is the Flickr. Let's just look at the most popular cameras in the Flickr. I think Flickr's are probably a fairly... Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a big database. So the most popular cameras in the Flickr community. Look at this jump here. I'm not sure when... They don't have a timeline, but there was some jump, I guess, when the iPhone 5... No, because it had been out for a while. I don't know. iPhone 5, number one. 4S, number two. 4, number three. And then like 5D Mark II, number four.
Like way... But
way behind.
Not even in the same
ballpark. I believe that's when the Flickr app came out.
Exactly.
Go up to the camera.
And of the top five camera phones, four are Apple. And a distant fifth is the Samsung Galaxy S3, which has been flat, by the way. 5S jumped up, of course, as it came out and became more popular. But that's the camera you have. And the thing is, it's a good camera. I don't see Nokia on here, actually, which is odd.
Yeah,
It's such a small section.
Nokia
and
Flickr. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I hope that people appreciate that there's going to be a time, maybe 10 years from now, that they wish that they had a better camera than the one in their pocket. So I love to obsess over camera tests. I love to figure out what can this phone do, what can't this phone do. At the same time, I have to keep in mind that a lot of people just don't care. It really is. Not only they don't care to such an extent that they're willing to take a crappy camera phone picture and make it crappier with really stupid filters before they put it onto Instagram. So it's like, okay.
Yeah, but I think that there's a lot of times where you're taking pictures and, you know, no matter, you know, you're, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm saying that I think everybody should want the best photos they can possibly take. There's a point at which, like, here's the level of,
but I think the thing that would distinguish a phone for me is someone's birthday party with only the candles, and it says this is what your kid looks like with this camera, and this is what your kid looks like with the camera that you own right now. Yeah. You know, when you take the picture when they're you know blowing out the candles, and one is a mess, and the other one looks great, and that's what people need to know they can do with their phone.
I would also point out if you go to Flickr and look at the images taken by each. These are iPhone 5 images.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they take great photos.
People are getting good photos even with an iPhone 5.
What would an average person hold?
The iPhone 5 is consistently the best. I wouldn't say that. I think that the Nokia 1020 and the iPhone 5S are tied for best camera phone for different reasons. But in terms of shot-for-shot consistency, I don't think anything can beat the 5S. I'm consistently impressed with what it's getting out of that tiny little sensor and that tiny, tiny little lens. And I think one of the reasons why people don't think they need a real camera is because they get these snapshots, and they're phenomenal.
These are Lumia, just to be fair, Lumia 1020 photos, and some very, very good photos as well.
The key difference is that the 1020 can get pictures that no other camera can.
Right.
And their time when I was comparing before the 5S came out, when I was comparing it with the iPhone 5, it was humiliating the iPhone 5. The iPhone 5 wasn't anywhere in this camera's class.
Yeah.
Right now, there's still a lot of circumstances under which you're like, okay, well, would have been nice to have a real flash. I don't have a real flash. I can't take this picture. Or it would have been nice to simply tell this camera, look, I need you to use a really, really short shutter speed. I know you're going to want to hold that shutter open. I'm telling you, don't do that. You really, whatever you have to do, but do not expose this for longer than 1/100th of a second. That simple fact leads to so many more really good pictures from the Nokia that the iPhone just can't handle.
Here is a 1/2000th of a second shot aperture f/2.2 from a Nokia 1020. You couldn't do that on any other camera phone.
Yeah.
I can't believe you could do 1/2000th on the 1020.
And it's not even these freakish if you're going to do a specialty photo like freezing a raindrop, yes, of course. It really is things like just in general photography, The iPhone does something. The iPhone 5S does something weird that I've been trying to figure out. I've been talking to a lot of people to try to get at the truth of it. There are a lot of circumstances under which it will choose like a 1/20th of a second or 1/40th of a second shutter speed when it's clearly had faster shutter speeds available. And that's the reason why this picture, the picture of this person is sort of in focus, but not really. That's the reason why the background is acceptable, but that's not really tack sharp. And this is even when you don't manually override it in the Nokia. The Nokia seems to have been taught that, look, try to go for short, for shorter speeds if you possibly can. I don't know if it's a problem where Apple knows that that the iPhone has problems with higher ISOs or whatever, but it really is baffling sometimes. I just wish that if there's one feature that Apple could add to the iPhone, that if I could by caveat insist they do one thing, it would be a simple, in addition to HDR, square, whatever, have an option, simply say action. That simply said, the user doesn't have to know that it's going to try to go for short shutter speeds over long. But if they did that, they would have fixed, I think, half of the photos that did not come out well on that I shot with the iPhone 5S.
Google has announced that Chrome apps are now available, as they have been for Windows 8 for some time, for Apple. These are desktop apps that run offline outside the browser. You actually get an app, a grid. They have a DJ program. They have a video editing program. Of course, Google's stuff, 500px, Plex. Very interesting that Google has really kind of invaded the app ecosystem on the Macintosh.
You want to make your MacBook into a Pixel? You can do that now.
Yeah. Basically, that's what it is. It's a Chromebook. These are these require Chrome, of course, so you have to first install the latest version of Chrome. The other thing that came out recently, and I don't think I'm using an oddball version of Chrome, you can now say, okay, Google, to your MacBook, and it will start doing searches and so forth if you have Google running. And fine, they have a little, this is Google Voice Search Hot Word Beta seemed to have been installed at some point. I don't know if that was me. I might have done that. I don't know. I got a little microphone in my menu bar.
Does it work?
Yeah. Okay, Google. Tell Alex Lindsay that he is my best friend, and if he would just give me that Mac Pro that he bought for $1 million, I would be very grateful. Oh, that just does a search. Doesn't no text messages. All right, we're going to
actually. While we're on speech and before we go to pics, Siri now understands questions that you're directing at Santa.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's I don't know what they added or what they added the front end, but now I don't have the whole list in front of me, but you can do things like say, is Santa Claus real? And now Siri knows I shouldn't do a web search on Santa Claus not truthful because I might be a kid. So that's part of the repertoire of things that Siri notes as an exception and knows that, okay, this is my chance to be more personable.
See, now where it gets really scary is when you can say, Siri, what am I going to get for Christmas?
Ooh.
And then Siri, knowing all of your friends and all the things that they purchased on Amazon, uh-huh, tell you, okay, well,
that sounds like more of a Google feature.
I don't know, but then in the end it'll just go, and then if you've been bad, you see a coal.
You know. Redbeard says, fortunately, we've been... Santa, bring me a Haswell Mac Mini.
Yes.
Yes.
Not yet.
We'll take it.
10.9.1 is out, Leo. Fixes Gmail and other mail issues.
10.9.1.
Yeah. Mavericks point.
All right. Let's, if Gmail issues I thought were fixed earlier, but...
They need to be fixed more.
They need to be fixed additionally.
Yes.
So here's the good news.
10.8 is still running great for me, by the way.
You never upgraded.
No, we don't upgrade.
Yep, updates are available for your computer. Digital Camera Raw, 10.9.1. All right, let me update it. While we're doing that, let's talk about personalcapital.com. As you get older, take it from me, and your life gets more complicated, your financial life anyway, more credit cards, more loans. Of course, you've got checking accounts, one hopes, retirement accounts, credit cards. It makes it harder and harder for you to keep track of what you've got and how to invest it. And I was very lucky to have interviewed last year Bill Harris, who's a former CEO of PayPal and Intuit. We were talking about financial businesses and so forth, and he had just founded personal capital. So I immediately signed up. It's free, which is great. And you get a complete financial dashboard. You input your accounts, and it will give you – this is all free, free tools to manage your money. And then – and this is how they pay for the business. You can get financial advice as well. Goal-based, diversified, unbiased advice from certified financial advisors. This is a really, really nice solution. You get a dashboard, mobile apps. And I can tell you, you know, they don't harass you with a financial advisor. This is really a great little solution. I want you to try it out right now at personalcapital.com/MacBreak. You can run it on your iPhone, your iPad, your desktop as well. It is the only financial tool you ever need. They say the only wealth management tool, and I think that's the key. Understanding what you're doing is the key to getting on board with, well, 401k fee analyzer, mutual fund fee calculator, research and insights, investment checkup, asset allocation, portfolio performance, all of this free at personalcapital.com/MacBreak. When you sign up for Personal Capital and link your accounts, you'll get a customized wealth management experience absolutely free. I want you to try it today. I've been using it for a year, and I'm very, very happy. personalcapital.com/MacBreak. By the way, they do support multi-factor authentication and military-grade encryption and all of that, so you're secure, you're safe when you use Personal Capital. They even monitor your accounts for suspicious activity. Time for our picks of the week. Who wants to start? How about you all the way over out there in Liverpool? I feel bad because you've been kind of out in left field there. Don McAllister, Screencast Online.
Right. Well, my pick is an existing app that people have probably used and might have used and gone away from, but they really need to revisit. And that's iMovie. Believe it or not. I've been doing a couple of, prepping for some upcoming tutorials, and I've gone back to iMovie to have a look at it. And I've been really, really impressed with it on the Mac, and especially on iOS as well. It's one of those applications that blows you away when you realize just what they've accomplished in putting iMovie onto an iOS device with the touch capabilities. And it's sheer power now. It's got all sorts of things that you can do with iMovie on iOS, connected clips and picture-in-picture and, transitions. It's really is a wonderful little video editor and well worth checking out. And, of course, it's now free if you buy it with an iOS. If you buy an iOS iPad or iPhone, you get iMovie for free. And the Mac version as well, it's sort of taken a lot from Final Cut Pro 10. Lots of new features in there, which are bordering on professional, some of them, and very easy to use, but well worth revisiting if you've used it in the past, or say you used iMovie HD and then, you know, your arms went up when the new version came out. It's tremendously improved, and it's very, very good.
You know, it's funny you should say that. I was just talking with Lisa. She wants her son's interested in video editing because he does YouTube, right? And everybody wants to make YouTube mm-hmm. apps. And she said, we should get Final Cut. And I said, wait a minute. No, I think you should really start with iMovie. That's a great way to learn, and timeline editing is timeline editing. If you learn it, am I wrong?
Well, it's very different. I mean, iMovie and Final Cut are different than all the other ones. I mean, you know,
you'll be comfortable different with Final Cut,
but,
though.
But if you learn iMovie, it's designed so that you can move from iMovie to Final Cut.
Right. Is it hard to move from something like Final Cut to Premiere? Or
It's very different. Yeah, at this point, it's a very different ecosystem.
Interesting.
So it's very similar to iMovie and Final Cut operate in a very similar fashion.
Right.
But for... to go to a traditional, timeline is hard.
I do think that a lot of what you're learning is editing.
Well, I mean, what really
right?
makes
not
a great
the,
edit is the creative
right.
end of the Walter
Murch
level
yeah.
of, you know,
yeah.
like figuring out what's good timing. I think that's way more important than figuring out what to hit. But and I have to say, I use Final Cut 10. I love it. Yeah. So
and I'm with you. I think iMovie is better and better. And a yeah. really great place for people to start if they want to start video editing.
Yeah, it's more difficult if you come from a traditional video editing background, I think, we know with
right.
fixed layers and stuff. But with iMovie now and this sort of moving timeline, it makes it so easy. You're just dropping clips in and, you know, there's some new keyboard combination that you can use to insert clips into the timeline and just drag and drop. And it really, really is a nice application now. And it's very powerful.
Edmonton Euler guy in our chat room wants to know, what do you use instead of iDVD since that's gone?
What are DVDs?
Yeah. You can burn with iMovie, though, right? Mm. Can't you?
No, not with iMovie. You can with Final Cut Pro, but you can't Pro Cut 10, but you can't with iMovie.
So
no,
I mean,
the whole move is... I mean, they've got the new iMovie Theater in in iMovie now, and that's a way of once you've created your video, you can export it to iCloud, and then you've got it on any iOS device, on your Apple TV, and also on your, you know, all your iOS devices as well, and your Mac. Of course, you can then share that with people, but you share it as an attachment, you know, a mail attachment. You can drop it to people. It's very much a digital distribution mechanism now, rather than looking at the physical distribution mechanism.
Mr. Don McAllister, Screencasts Online. Don't forget the SEO Tutor app for your iPhone or iPad. You can find it all at screencastsonline.com. It is a really great way to learn how to use iMovie and everything else on a Macintosh.
Well, the new iMovie tutorials will be out probably in about 2 weeks or so.
Good. Good, good, good.
Just in time for Christmas.
And SEO Tutor for Mac, iPad, and iPhone. Great way to learn.
Yeah, there's some apps that I've got on the App Store at the moment. We are in the process of bringing a new app out in the new year, which will be a single app, which will have all the tutorials in that you can just pick a mix from.
Excellent. So thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure having you on.
Nice to be here.
And let's get our pick from Renee. If it's that beanie, I want it. Where'd you get that? An Apple store near you?
That's the Apple Company store in Cupertino. You have to go to the mothership for those.
Yeah.
But I've got something you might like just as much, Leo. One of our favorite things has been updated. The Hue app for iOS got an update yesterday.
Ah!
So it's been redone for iOS 7. It now has a handy sidebar navigation system. It no longer uses those pull-ups and pull-downs.
Thank God. Yeah, those didn't work with the...
And you can create, if you set your lights just the way you like them, you can immediately save from that screen and make that a preset. I use them in my studio here, so I can, for example, with one button, just turn everything off.
Ooh.
And then just hit the podcast button and it all comes right back on.
In the right color and everything.
Yeah, it's much better than the previous app was. It works with all your existing Hue lights. And they've been expanding. They went from the original bulb. They now have these Hue
Do you have the flat ones yet? Do you have the flat ones?
Yep. And you can get them standalone or you can get them that go into sockets. They even have, exclusive to the Apple Store, a Disney version with Mickey Mouse ears that will time in with stories you read to your children. And they have long Hue light, sort of like rope lights that you can put, you know, around your doors or in your cabinets. They're really making a big sort of ecosystem out of these, and you can control all of it from iOS or Android.
I have a shameful admission. We moved a month ago, a little more than a month ago. I have my Hues in a box. I haven't figured out where I want to put them.
Everywhere.
I have 9 Hues, and I don't know, the bedroom, the den. I don't know where to put my Hues.
My back house is all here. It's all
two Hues. Here. Two blooms on the side.
I guess they never burn out, right? So you might as well just replace the lamps bit by bit with Hues.
And I just, after talking to you guys about it and my friend Kevin loves it, I got Sonos as well now. So all the lights and all the music are controlled from one iPhone, and it's glorious.
Isn't it awesome?
Well, it's fantastic.
And I guess one of our producers
said... Attention, malicious hackers. Everything inside his house can be addressed by outside the internet. Turn off her lights.
Andy told me it was on his short list of things that he wanted to keep after he reviewed it, and that's a good enough recommendation for me.
I'm really interested in total home automation.
Yeah.
Now I can do it. I'm not moving again, ever. They're taking me out in a pine box. So now I can, which isn't very long.
You can have Jarvis
like
Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, if you have NFC tags on that pine box, they'll be able to track you all the way through the embalming and through the burial and through the...
Yes. Well, pretty soon with your...
Bluetooth LED
with your
iBeacon,
and it'll just turn the Hue lights on wherever you are.
Here comes Leo.
And then I'll set it up so that I'll put a little iBeacon on my son, so when he runs around, there's little red lights before he gets there, so I can watch him.
But this, too, like the Hue supports geofencing, so when you get home, your lights will just come on, and when you leave, they'll just go. I mean, there's a lot of really interesting things when the Internet of Things starts to become intelligent.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can use if this, then that.
Yes.
Which is nice.
One of our producers actually has, I was just going to say, has if this, then that hooked up so that one of his Hue lights blinks when there's weather warnings, and, you know, it's.
Yeah.
Like that.
I'm just trying. I only have 9 bulbs. I guess I need more.
Oh.
Just throughout the house.
First nerd problem, once again.
The new Hue app is here, free if you've spent all that money for Hues.
Yes.
Mr. Lindsay, your pick of the week.
I got 2 picks.
All right.
One pick is...
So we've been working on...
I think that's pronounced Tupac.
Tupac. Okay. Yeah. So we've been... we use a lot of microphones. And so one of the things I'm going to be doing a lot of on my picks... is when we're trying to build stuff, I have a tendency to buy like a whole bunch of things and then test all of them and try to figure out which one makes sense. And I think about sending them back and then I just end up keeping them. but what we were looking for is a handheld mic that was USB, but handheld. So not a Yeti, not something, you know, something someone could hold up while they're, you know, in an event. That sounds relatively good, but it's USB, so someone doesn't have to figure out how to use an interface. And so far, the best one that we found, and we bought a bunch of them, is this. It's an Audio-Technica ATR2100, and it's got a little on-off switch. You can, of course, have zero latency, you know, headphone on the bottom. Here's one of the cool things, though, is it does have, if you decide you want to go up, it does have an XLR, you know, output, so that you can hook it into a mixer if you decide you want to grow a little bit or you need a longer cable. But again, we've been really, I mean, I went through a lot of really bad mics that were, and I think this is in the, I believe it's in the $60-$70 range, but it's, you know, I wouldn't say it's the same quality as something like a Yeti or something like that as far as, but as your, or, and definitely not a Heil, but.
It's more like an SM58. We've been using these for a while now.
These little handheld ones?
Yeah, the Audio Technica, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I've been using the show as well. I've got mine hooked up.
Yeah. Is that what you're using, the 2100?
Yeah. It's really, I use it with the XLR connection. And it's great. I use it for the screencast now as well. It's really good.
Yeah, because we've been trying to figure out what we send out to someone if we've got like a group of people that want to be in a hangout specifically, and we don't want them to have an open speaker with a lav or an open mic because you'll get echo and everything else. And so. I think this is the one we're going to... So I'm glad that you're using that one as well. So
yeah, good mic. Really good.
Yep. Anyway, yeah. There you go.
And very flexible, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. So anyway. Oh, my second pick, by the way, is... I just have to say this because QuickTime 7 Pro.
Is it still around?
I'm still effing bitter about QuickTime 10. So I was like... You know, someone was like, well, you can do a lot more with QuickTime 10 like 2 days ago. So I opened up QuickTime 10. And they have added a lot of features and it still sucks. So, you have to.
Where do we find it? I'm at apple.com/QuickTime.
If you do search, you can still download QuickTime 7.5 or 7.7. We have a package of it, and I don't know if you can buy the upgrade anymore to Final Cut. To QuickTime Pro.
Yeah, I think you can. I think it's about $30. I think.
Can you still buy it?
I think you can.
Yeah, it's like $30 worth every penny. You still like when you're trying to clip, just do a quick edit, clip things out. I use it every day. In fact, I have all my movies, all my QuickTime movies on my Mac are set to, by default, they don't open QuickTime 10, which makes me angry when it opens. Like, as soon as it opens, I get angry. I have to like go and take a Ritalin, you know,
They have added a lot of features.
They have, but yeah. The trimming still is horrible, and the export is still opaque, and you know, and it's just it.
There it is. There's the.
Yeah, you can still buy QuickTime
7 Pro. You can still buy it.
Still buy it, and if you're wondering how to quickly trim your movies in a way that actually works, that's still like the quickest, easiest, cheapest way to do it. It's got lots of little features of being able to extract channels and trim channels and add things on top, and it's such a great app that Apple just totally threw into the trash with an update. Mm. Anyway, not that I'm bitter.
So. It happens. Seems like it happens a lot, to be honest. Yeah.
Just speaks a man in pain.
If you go to the Apple Store, that's where you... store.apple.com, you can actually still buy QuickTime 7 Pro.
I mean, if they got rid of QuickTime X, they got rid of QuickTime X and re-released QuickTime 7, I'd be happy. There's nothing about QuickTime 10 that I would miss.
Andy Inoko, your pick of the week.
I have two. One is, we talked about one beloved Inoko household family tradition being Patrick Stewart reading A Christmas Carol. Another one is the unannounced David Letterman Christmas show. every year they have a tradition in which it varies a little bit, but they're almost always the same three components. Number one, Paul Schaefer tells his story of watching Cher on the 1974 Christmas special sing Oh Holy Night and does his impression of Cher. Jay Thomas tells his story about driving the Lone Ranger back from a radio show appearance while stoned. There's the late night quarterback holiday quarterback challenge in which Dave and Jay try to throw footballs at the top of a Christmas tree and knock the meatball off the top of the tree. Trust me, it works. And then the most important one of all, Darlene Love sings Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. And they put, it's like they, if anything looked cheap on the Letterman show for the previous 3 weeks, it's because they knew that they're going to be hiring 40 more musicians. They're going to be putting costumes on every member of the band. They're going to be renting the snow machine. They're going to be making a special Yuletide backdrop.
It sounds as though I'm being sarcastic, but after seeing them do this for about I think they even started on the NBC show in the late 80s, and they've been doing it every year ever since. And to me, it's part of the Christmas celebration that I hear Darlene Love sing "Christmas Baby, Please Come Home." I've checked the CBS site. It's going to be this Friday because Darlene Love is in the lineup. I am informed by a reliable source that Jay Thomas unfortunately cannot appear due to recovering from some sort of a neck surgery, that he's not able to participate in the late night holiday quarterback challenge. So he's on the DL list this year, but it'll still be very, very much worth it. That's free. If you don't have time to see it, or if you miss it, you will be able to go to YouTube and you will see like 10 years, 20 years of Darlene Love singing "Christmas Baby, Please Come Home." And you will understand why in this household it is quite so beloved. The second pick, though, is Anki Drive, which you certainly heard of. It was that race car Bluetooth LE game that was demonstrated at the WWDC over the summer. It's a better pick for me as a Christmas under the tree gift than it would have been like in October or September as a just thought we'd buy this and thought we'd give this as a birthday gift, because it's a fun, fun game. I don't know if people remember, it is the game where it is physical race cars on like a vinyl track where the cars have little optical sensors. They can sense their position on the track, and whatever cars are not being controlled by people with phones, they are actually being controlled by the game with a certain level of AI involved. So they move intelligently. They try to block other cars intelligently. And it really is very responsive.
This looks
and
fun.
Really,
it looks awesome.
It is. It's not only that, but it really does try to pull in the idea of slot car racing. I mean, obviously you steer by turning the phone, but it's not the sort of thing where, oh, I oversteered and now it's off the track and now I have to walk over and pick it up. When you actually steer, because it knows where it is on the track, it just interprets that as, okay, he wants me to go on the inside. No, now he wants me to go to the outside. Now he wants me to do this, that, and the other. Also, these cars can shoot at each other and slow each other down because the batteries in these things actually have it was really well thought out, because these are the – when you – the $200 kit comes with the mat and two different cars. And the cars, these are the actual charging. It's not only the car, a carrying case, but it's also a charging station.
Standard micro
USB, but it also comes with an adapter that can charge both of those cars and a third one at the same time. And so these are real cool. And it's, as you can see, it docks into this and it gets a hard connection. And you can see in the bottom where you can see the optical sensor, what's reading the track. It gets about 8 minutes of life off of every charge, and about a 20-minute, maybe 15 minutes to recharge. So it's not like it's going to stop you for the entire day to reset. So
I have a 6-year-old, and a short life on these electronics is actually a feature, not a bug.
Yes,
you want them to die.
Yeah, like something that lasts like 3 hours, he will use it for 3 hours, and so
yes. So as a result, because the last 8 minutes of this, there isn't a straightforward racing game for it yet. The game that it plays is, again, pursuit, intercept, destroy, where you get points every time you shoot and slow down. So every time you shoot another car, you get points. And you can slow it down so you can get around it. Meanwhile, all these other cars, even the autonomous ones, are doing the same to you. And again, they're not just simply looping around the track. They know where your car is. They know where itself is. So it's making really, really smart decisions. It's a lot of fun. It comes with two cars. You can purchase additional cars. Each one has its own individual personality on how it drives. And again, anything not being operated by a human will be operated by a robot. Now, the other thing I really like about this is that there's so much they can do with this in the future. Most of the expense of this, the additional cars are $70. So given that this is a $200 thing, you get two cars with it, think of it as $140 worth of cars and then $60 for the mat and stuff like that. But the thing is, they can update the app and add more games. So if they wanted to do a pure racing game, they could do a pure racing game. If they wanted to come out with a larger mat with a trickier course, they could do that too. So I don't feel as though this is your traditional Sears 1978 wish book slot car set, where once you take it out of the box, whatever you can do with it out of the box on Christmas Day is the only thing you can do with it. I think that you definitely buy it because you're happy with what it does right now, but I think it's certainly likely that next year, you'll as the months go by, you'll see more features and more games. And it also really made me think about how cool if this thing works out for the company and they continue to develop this. Again, the only bummer of it is having to stop and recharge these things when they run out of juice and the game's over. It would be great if they could do. I would love to see them do version two, be like a Le Mans style game where it's actually you have like a racing team, so to speak, of two or three cars. And when it runs low on battery, you pit out. It goes into like a wireless charging station. So it's just now it's on this pad. So now it's charging for 10 minutes, and then your second car can peel out and take over the race. So one can be.
I like that pit stops. Yeah.
So anyway, so it's a lot more fun than you think. Even the idea of going around in a circle with a little bit of a bend in it. As I said, I think it takes a special. You need to have a special kind of pocketbook to buy $200 gift that is only a racing game. But it's the perfect kind of Christmas present where I'm sure it'll be played for 53 hours straight. December 25, 26, 27th. It will tail off a bit after that, but believe me, anytime there's more than two kids in the house and one of them has never played this game before, you will be asked to move the coffee table out of the middle of the living room floor. You will be laying down the mat and they will be playing this game.
How really big is crazy. The mat?
It's about the 3 feet, a little
most
bit more
importantly,
wide.
Will it by fit on this table?
Foot. Yeah. Thank you, Pro New Year's Eve. By the way, I just want to point out, Alex, Andy, we thank you for taking your time describing this. Both Alex and I purchased it during your your pitch.
Oh my God. You'll have four cars you could do like.
No, we both bought extra cars. We have eight cars.
It is great stuff. I was going to make it my pick last week, and I was really, really determined to say, now, is there a way that I can set up a computer in the living room? Because I don't have room in the studio to lay out the mat. Because I really want to just be like sitting in the middle, like going,
we'll bring it. I'm going to have it for New Year's Eve. We're going to do it during our New Year's Eve broadcast.
I'm just glad that my son doesn't watch this show.
I know. I'm glad my son doesn't watch either.
It's a great gift, and I'm saying that if all this company does, they don't change the software, they don't change anything, all they do is come out with a larger mat that's about the size of a king-size bed, and that's just a huge, huge surface that would make it even 50% more fun.
iPhone too. Only, though. We got to mention iPhone, iPod. Touch
as the most fun things happen when things you can hold with your hands, or they usually happen with the iPhone.
First. No Android.
No Android.
So make sure if you buy it.
iPod Touch too, right?
Yeah. Yep. If you buy it for your kid or whatever. Could you use an iPad?
I think so. It shouldn't. All it requires is Bluetooth LE and iOS.
Okay.
And so
there you go.
I'm guessing that I haven't tried on my iPad.
Yeah.
I might be a little less fun to hold it like this because, or maybe it's just because I'm, we're that generation where at some point we were at a friend's house and we didn't get to play with their awesome slot car set. And so instinctively we're not holding it like this. We're holding it like this.
Right.
So we want something small.
ANKI.com if you want to find out more about it. Slot car, thank you for the Canadian flag.
Sorry about that. Thank you, Chad. Both of you.
what's funny is when we first moved to Petaluma, there was a slot car store, like storefront, where they had a giant slot car layout and you could go and do it. I wish they'd stayed in business. That was fun.
I remember that.
You remember that?
No, I remember doing slot cars. Yeah. In Natrona Heights, Pennsylvania.
iPad 3 or iPad Mini or newer will also work with it. It's Anky, not Janky. It says Pizza Box. Well, I was going to make a quick pick, but I'll do it real quickly. It is now out for Macintosh. It is, I would say, the best game I've ever played on the PC. It was an Xbox and PlayStation game as well, BioShock Infinite. $40 available on the Macintosh finally. It takes them a little while to port these over. You do read the requirements, the system requirements, before you buy it. But it is an amazing first-person shooter. Really, really stylish and gorgeous. If you played the first two BioShocks, this one is even better. And you're now in the sky floating in a city. Love this game.
I just need a Mac Pro and 4K monitor to play it on, Leo.
I am hoping to play this on my Mac Pro before the end of the year.
Yes.
Great game.
Oh, apparently iBooks gifting just went live.
Whoa!
You can finally gift your iBooks.
Gift your iBooks. You mean books you've already purchased?
No, but previously you couldn't do gifts in the iBook store. Like you could on the App Store and the iTunes Store. And now apparently that works.
Now you can.
Yep.
Thank you all. Been great fun. Happy holidays, Don, and to you and Barbara. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.
Same to you. Same to you. Well, coming over to, you're going to be at CES this year?
I will not. We will have a team there, but I'm going to manage to avoid that. Are you going to, you're going over to CES,
we're
going,
Yeah, we're going to the New Media Expo. And
yeah, I'll be at that. I'll be at New Media Expo. Oh, right. I'm keynoting there, so we'll see you then.
Is that before or after?
Before. They do it before at the Rio, so that people can go to that and then stay for CES.
I'll probably wander over. We'll be setting up. We're doing streaming.
I'm doing a number of things, I think, on Monday at New Media Expo.
Great. I'll see you then.
To that. Yeah, I look forward to it. That's the, you know, that's, I have to go. It's the trade show for our people.
I used to go, and then they just stopped calling me.
Oh.
Well. Figured, man, I don't do that podcast anymore.
You have to get an invitation, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you, Don. ScreencastOnline.com, Andy Iannocco, the Chicago Sun-Times, the Celestial Waste of Bandwidth. The Now, somebody said I was saying the name of your show on 5x5 wrong. It's Iannocco's Almanac, isn't it?
It is the Iannocco Almanac.
Oh, it's a single, not possessive. The Iannocco Almanac.
I pride myself on being non-prepossessing, so.
There's no possession involved.
Also, right. also if you're just tuning in, this is a good week because I will be, tomorrow night I'm recording my official detractors commentary of White Christmas, the movie. So if you want to, if you can download this episode, play it alongside White Christmas on Netflix and hear everything that I like and
sisters,
I'm disappointed by.
Sisters, is it that one? No, that's
yep. Nope,
that's one. Okay. Never were there such devoted sisters. Andy, you and I could maybe do that for New Year's Eve for our show.
Now, okay, if you're saying the version in which Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye are pretending to be those two girls,
that would work.
Yes. If we have to wear the full gowns as though, no, I'll say no. Because I've always wanted to sing while wearing sock garters. That's been a dream of mine as a performer.
I love Danny Kaye. That's a great movie. Holiday Inn is the other one, the original with Fred Astaire. That's a different one.
That's the one. I like that one more because, for God's sakes, Fred Astaire. And also, his Bing's performance of White Christmas is better. Of course, if you get you have to get the edited version without the Lincoln's birthday number.
That's the problem with Holiday Inn, is it's not just Christmas. It's every holiday, including blackface Lincoln's birthday.
Not just the most horrifying. Just not even the, okay, I've seen Al Jolson, I'm ready for this. And you think it's that, okay, everything, the worst has happened, and then another character comes on, and you're like, oh, my God.
Oh, it can't get any worse. Hey, it was that, that was the times.
Those
were the
times. I have to throw out this TV and buy a new one.
Alex Lindsay's travels have ended for the holidays, I hope.
Yes. Good. My next travels is actually just to L.A. with the family.
Good. Good. So, stick around for a little bit. Maybe we'll see you next week.
Yes, I'm here.
Actually,
next week.
Are we doing a show next week? No, that's our best of Christmas Eve.
Is it Christmas Eve next week?
Yeah, it's Christmas Eve 1 week.
Wow.
You and I just did our Christmas shopping. Didn't you notice that?
Exactly.
On the show.
So I won't be here next week.
So not next week, but the week after, maybe New Year's Eve. We are doing a special Mac Break Weekly on New Year's Eve. I invite you all to come. We'll be doing our slot cars.
Yes.
Nice.
Andy, can you do yours remotely?
I'll do mine remotely. We should promise to drink. I've still got a bottle of whiskey from a friend in Ireland sent me the green pot whiskey. I will drink good heavily deal. During because it'll be New Year's Eve.
Excellent. It's going to be fun. We start our New Year's Eve broadcast 4 a.m. New Year's Eve day, 4 a.m. Pacific, 7 a.m. Eastern time. New Year's Eve, December 31st, and we go right through January 1st, 2014. 4 a.m. our time, 7 a.m. Eastern time. It's a 24-hour broadcast. I will be awake for the entire thing. And we'll be celebrating with people all around the world at the top of the hour. In some cases, at the bottom of the hour. And I think in one case, a quarter after the hour.
And when does it start again?
Well, in order to make that happen, we have to do the first time zone, which celebrates at the entry into 2014 at 4 a.m. our time, New Year's.
Can we start drinking in the morning then?
You can drink at any. Yeah, by the way, I know
that
Carly,
was the thing, is that
you can come early.
I could do it early.
We're not taking over your night. You can come here in the morning. So our first.
I can start making drinks.
It starts
midnight somewhere.
In the Kamchatka Peninsula. That's where the year begins, or New Zealand or Fiji. That's at 4 a.m. Pacific, 12 midnight UTC. 12 noon, I'm sorry, UTC. Then Norfolk Island, New Caledonia, Australia, Japan, China.
I had big plans for that bar.
You gotta come.
And Carlita was
Leo,
like,
Leo, I'm going to make a suggestion that
I'll
is
early.
Going to increase the awesome or increase the fun for it for you for,
yes.
In
yes.
about at least 20%. Different signature cocktail for every time zone.
You think I will be alive at the end of this 24 hours? I guess I could do 24 cocktails in 24 hours.
You have the choice. You could be alive and feeling no pain at the end of 24 hours.
The challenging one is going to be Myanmar there's 1, 2, 3. There's like 5 in 2 hours. In fact, it's the 2 hours leading up to MacBreak Weekly. 9 a.m. Pacific, we've got Thailand. 9:30 Myanmar. 10, we've got Bangladesh. 10:45, we've got Nepal. 10:30, we've got India. And 11 a.m., we've got Russia. So that's like 6 cocktails in half an hour.
Well, at least promise me you'll do the Jerry Lewis thing where you'll have a tuxedo with the untied bow tie.
I ordered a tuxedo. I'm going to sing You'll Never Walk Alone at the end of it. It'll be amazing.
Start berating stagehands at least 20 minutes in.
This guy, I love this guy.
She's the Ava Braun of our stage.
You only have to take a sip.
And drag her on stage to awkwardly hug her so that you prove to the audience that no, we're all a big fan.
We're all friends.
The fact that I called her a Nazi doesn't mean that
the Ava Braun.
You see my little cocktail glasses, right?
Those little ones. I could take a little one. So there are a total of 27 time zones. We will be doing TNT at its regular time, then MacBreak Weekly, then the Giz Whiz Before You Buy, All About Android, and NSFW. I'll be there for all of those shows. But we also will be broadcasting in between. And then we'll do slot cars. We're going to do Dungeons & Dragons. We're going to have music.
Awesome.
Lots of surprises.
Which version of Dungeons & Dragons?
I think D&D 5, I think. Ooh. Have we decided
yet? I was thinking Warhammer 40,000.
Oh, we could do Warhammer instead. Do we have the figurines?
No. I mean,
somebody's got to get painting
I've always
right
done
away.
It virtually. I don't know.
Somebody's got to get to do some painting.
We have a Hobby Lobby in Petaluma.
And thank you for being here. Also, Renee Ritchie, imore.com, crackberry.com, all of those great sites. You're going to CES. In fact, you and Callie Lewis are taking over the South Hall stage that we usually do our shows from. So a big CES coverage from GeekBeat TV and imore. That'll be fun. I'm glad you're doing that.
It's going to be, I hope so. We'll do our best homage to you we can, Leo.
No, it'll be great. In fact, I wish I could be there for that because that's going to be it. But I'll be watching.
Absolutely awesome.
Yep. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We do MacBreak Weekly. Even on a day where we had no news, we ended up extending this for 2 hours and 19 minutes.
There was a lot of rat holes.
It's worse when there's no news because we could talk about anything.
Exactly.
There is no roadmap. We are just simply...
We start off the rails.
This is when listeners get to hear Jazz Odyssey.
Yeah, this is our version of Jazz
Odyssey.
This
is our answer to, are these guys really ADD or not? No.
We do it normally 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time. That's 1908 UTC on twit.tv. And we're not moving this show. So starting in the new year, everything will be at the same time. Some of the shows are moving, but not this one. So we look forward to seeing you in here live. If you can't get here live, though, on-demand audio and video is always available after the fact at twit.tv/MBW. And, of course, you can subscribe wherever finer netcasts are offered and get it for free every single week. That way you won't miss one. My strong encouragement. We also appreciate it if you enjoy the show and you know other Mac or Apple aficionados that you share it with them because it's your recommendations, frankly, that do the most for we don't market. We just let you tell your friends. So please share the word. We are here for you. Thanks for joining us. Now, get back to work, everybody. Break time is over.